B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets it blocked. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
A good Thursday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. Anthony will be back next Monday, August 1st. Can't wait to see my man. I was texting with him yesterday, sent him a photo of baby Coop, and he was all fired up. So yesterday was a nice day. I appreciate, want to just thank right away Connor Thomas. And Tom, I know you've been, you know, filling in for, in my seat, I guess. Have you been filling in technically for me? Who would you be filling in for?
Yeah, I think that
I guess that counts because I'm in this seat. But I want to thank you and Connor for taking care of business yesterday and holding down the fort. Had to hang out with Cooper for the day. Had a nice little doctor's appointment. Everything's good. But had to do that yesterday. That was my first full day one-on-one with baby Coop.
How'd it go?
I'm here.
That's good.
And he's still kicking.
That's,
you know?
Awesome, too.
So things
even
are good.
News.
I thank you guys for holding down the fort for me yesterday. I really just wanted to stay home and watch the Phillies. That's exactly what it was. Hey, there was no doctor's point. I don't even have a kid. I've been lying this entire time. I just want your likes and retweets on Twitter. That's not even my baby in those photos. I've been lying this entire time.
It's a fake baby.
Yeah, it's a fake baby. I just wanted to stay home and watch the Phillies beat the Braves yesterday and win the series. Now, I'm going to get into the Eagles in a little bit, but I got to talk about the Fightins, who win yesterday, take 2 of 3 against the Braves, and I can make the case that that's one of the more impressive and maybe even the most important series victories all season long, because you're coming off just a dreadful, dreadful series against the Cubs where you get swept, a team that was 20 games under 500 before they come in to your hometown, right, in Philadelphia, and they sweep you, and it's just like it was ugly. And you went into the All-Star break sky high. Momentum was sky high. You go into the break, you just sweep the Marlins. Things are great. Everybody's fired up. And you come back and get swept by the Cubs. And I'm like, oh boy, well, that's not good. And then they win game one against the Braves. Now, if you've been listening, I did not think they would win this series against Atlanta. And quite frankly, I thought that there was a strong chance that they could have got swept, because the game that I thought they had the best chance winning was the third game of the series. I did not think they were going to beat Max Fried. All right, I did not think that at all. And then I did not think that they were going to beat Spencer Strider, who's ridiculously good. And you saw how well he pitched against the Phillies in game two of that series, and the Braves ended up winning. I did not think they'd beat Fried. And then in game three, even though Charlie Morton, his ERA is in the fours, and it doesn't look like the same Charlie Morton numbers that we saw in years past, I just thought, all right, this guy's still a stellar pitcher. He could probably beat the Phillies. But I think that's the best chance the Phillies have of winning a game this series. And I remember we got that text the day after the Phillies won game one from a man, West Virginia Rick, who you hear Anthony bring up often on the show. He said that the Phillies had not lost a series where they won game one of said series since May 1st. And I remember reading that to you, and we were kind of like, all right, well, that's good. It's still going to be pretty difficult. It's a tough task to beat the Braves, even if it is in Philadelphia. Look, you just got swept by the Cubs. So they get that win yesterday. They win the series. And again, I can make the case that that's the most important series win that they've had all season long. Because if you drop 2 of 3, or worse, get swept, and you go 0-6 out of the All-Star break, or 1-5 out of the All-Star break, and it's, you know, it's home games, and it's leading up to the trade deadline, you win a series like that, hopefully that sends a little bit more of a message to the front office that this team is legit, that this team can win, that this team can do something in the playoffs, especially when Gene Segura and Bryce Harper come back from injury. We'll see about the status of Zach Eflin down the road. You shouldn't just wait on that and see what happens. No, you got to make a move. But the Phillies will get better as a team as these guys get healthy, and hopefully they make some moves at the trade deadline, because that's what I'm banking on. All right? I am banking on the Phillies to make some moves of note before the deadline. And that excites me. So I have a question, Phillies-related question, to start things off before I move on into the Eagles in a couple of minutes. Tom, you've been here since, you know, Anthony left, and we've been filling in for Anthony. He'll be back on the 1st. you know, people were kind of excited, I would say, going into the All-Star break when they swept the Marlins. I think it was more so you and me that were excited.
That's probably fair.
And then, you know, a couple of people were like, yeah, that was a good series win. They never beat the Marlins, that kind of stuff. Let's see what they're like out of the All-Star break. They get swept by the Cubs. We put out that poll. Have you hit the panic button? And majority of people, right, over 50% said, yeah, I already hit it. And then there was like a 25% group of people that said, let's wait until the Braves series happens. And I think majority of people thought that they were going to lose that series. I wonder how they're feeling today after they win. So the Phils win game one against the Braves. You were here with me. Dead silent.
Yes.
Like, nobody wanted to go, good win for the Phillies. Nobody wanted to say it. And I thought that that win was monstrous, right? Because, A, I thought they were going to lose the series against the Braves or even get swept. So now you avoid the sweep. You also snap what would have been a four-game losing streak. You get swept by the Cubs. That's hideous. That's gross. It's disgusting. But you win game one of the series, and that kind of stops the skid. Because who knows how far it could have gone had they lost game, you know, four games in a row. They lose to Strider. That's five games in a row. The vibes might be different yesterday afternoon. Maybe they get swept by the Braves and get swept twice to start the second half of the season. But they win game one and there's nothing. They lose the second game of the series. Now, I was not in yesterday. But I saw social media on, what would that be, Tuesday night. And it was, I hate this team. This team stinks.
Blah, you know, same old Phillies.
Same old Phillies. Screw this team. They can't win. No run support for Aaron Nola. Or Aaron Nola comes up small in another big game, even though he's pitched well this season, right? I know it was a big game. I was disappointed, too, by his effort. He was throwing 0-2 fastballs right down the middle of the plate. He was last year Aaron Nola. The way he pitched that game, I'm not just saying numbers, right? I'm saying the way he attacked, the way he approached the Braves lineup yesterday, or two nights ago, was as if he was pitching last year. I hated the approach. And look, he got tattooed a couple of home runs. But it was all screw the Phillies, right? The whole night. Now, I was not in yesterday. I'm sure you guys got Phillies' reaction yesterday, and I'm sure people were, it was mainly negative, correct?
Yeah, mainly negative. I mean, everyone was hyped up about Eagles training camp, obviously, yeah. So that kind of overtook. But the few Phillies conversations that we did have, mostly negative.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. They won last night, or yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
They just won a series against the Braves that I don't think they had any business of winning.
Maybe the hottest team in baseball.
Yes.
Coming into the series.
I didn't think they had any business of winning this series. Maybe. I thought that there was a good chance they got swept, right? Are people going to kind of be back, or is it still, like, dead, right? Because I don't know if I'm not going to say people hate this team, right? Like, people don't hate the Phillies. I strongly dislike them at times. I love them. It's like such a love-hate relationship with the Phillies. It's been 11 years since they made the playoffs, and there's a lack of aggression that I'm going to get to in a second. But, like, the Phillies win yesterday. They win the series. Very impressive series win. You can't tell me, I'll be in soon, because we're less than 70 games away from the start of the playoffs, right? Like, we are not home stretch yet, but we're pretty damn close.
We're getting close to third.
Yeah,
round
exactly.
Second, heading to third.
And it's like, all right, so when are you going to get on? And I just wonder, is there like a weird disconnect, dislike with this team? And you know, you look around the diamond, right? JT Realmuto, forget vaccination status. The stuff that he said about just a little bit of money was just such in poor taste and deserved to get ripped. And so then somebody in the PR staff gets to him and says he has to kind of follow it up when they came back from Toronto. And then he kind of dug the hole a little bit deeper. Like, you know, he's like, well, no, it's personal to me, just a little bit of money. That's not what you say. Just say my bad. Like, I shouldn't have said something like that. You know, I don't know if many people like JT as a guy. He has the worst walk-up song in Major League Baseball.
Easily.
Like, I think people kind of don't like him. And the second he started playing poorly, even though he's on a tear right now, the second he started playing poorly, it was, see, he's not that good. I told you he's not that good. So that's JT. Rhys Hoskins, I think people like. But as I've said, he's sometimes just there.
He's just kind of there.
He's kind of there. You know, he is some really hot stretches and then some really cold stretches and then works walks and doesn't know how to play first base, right? Doesn't know where to put his feet. And so he's kind of just there. Bryce Sott, I think we're all excited for. You keep on telling me he's been red hot, and he has been. He's been putting the ball in play. He's been hitting the ball, but still just young, 200 hitter, you know, hopefully. And let's face it, it's not like prospects have really panned out if you're a Phillies fan, right? So forgive me when a guy's hitting below 200, even though he's had a nice stretch since June 1st. Forgive me, Don Brown had a nice stretch at one point, right? Yeah. Well, maybe. And then there's Alec Bohm, who said the, you know, I bleep and hate it here, even though he, you know, opened up to it literally later that game, and there was a lot of people that applauded him for it. There's still people that that's a bad taste in their mouth. Didi was weird last year blaming the vaccine for why he sucked, right? Like, come on, dude, that had nothing to do with it. You're just, you're getting up there in age, and you're Joe Girardi's guy. Girardi's not here anymore, but he's still playing. Everybody loves Schwarber, but he hits 200. Center field, you have an awful human being, Odubel Herrera. Matt Vierling got a car commercial, Car Shield commercial, for what reason, I have no idea.
That's a great question.
I still have no idea to this day. Mickey Moniak's up and down from the minor leagues. And then we all love Bryce Harper, but he's hurt, right? And then the other guy in right field is Nick Castellanos, who just looks miserable every day. He's not playing well, and then that adds to the misery that we all feel toward him. Like, part of me thinks people don't really like the guys on this team. Like, is that, like, Zach Wheeler's a former Met, so maybe that's a weird thing for a lot of people. Aaron Nola has had his struggles in the past. Gibby's Gibby, right? A great outing yesterday, but he'll give up 6 earned runs his next outing. That kind of happens often with him. Tom, do people like this team? Like, we love the Phillies, but do people like this team?
I don't think they dislike this team. I just think anytime people think of Philly success, especially recent success, they're always going to think of the 2008 to 2011 Phillies. Everybody loved those teams, absolutely loved those teams. So I think anytime you try and compare a Phillies team that is trying to compete, you're always going to go back to that. You're never going to like his team as much as you did then. I don't know if it's necessarily the disliking of the players. I think it's just basically, I'm not trusting this Phillies team, the team as a whole, in general, until they give me a reason to trust them. I've been through too much, not me, people out there. I've been through too much in the past decade where I don't care about a hot week, a hot month, whatever it may be. I'm not trusting this team until they give me a reason to trust the team. And that may mean I'm not trusting this team until they clinch a playoff berth, because I haven't seen it so far. So once they get into the playoffs, they've earned my trust back. I feel like a lot of Phillies fans feel that way. I also think it's tough for Phillies fans to trust this team and really buy into this team without Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I do. I think you're missing.
But
I
look, they're winning games without him. Surprise. Like, still, I keep on saying it.
It makes no sense.
They should have lost this series, but they didn't.
I think because there's still a question mark relatively. He didn't get the pins taken out this past Monday. He keeps saying he's going to come back. We all think he's going to come back. Because there's still a question mark surrounding Bryce Harper when he's coming back, I think that adds to people's distrust, I guess you could say, with this team.
Okay, so you think it's more distrust?
I think so.
Because I see Jay Greco on our YouTube chat saying the JT thing is dead, so drop it. I know for a fact there are people that still dislike him for everything that was said. And again, I'm saying nothing about vaccination status, right? I'm just saying he makes the comment about money, and there are still people that dislike him. And the second he gets out, it's like a quick way for people to boo. We all know, right? When you go to the game for the first time since something happens, you might still try to voice your displeasure, right? You know, it might happen 6 games ago, but it's my first chance to, you know, be vocal.
Absolutely.
And look, you're seeing with Real Muto every once in a while. Obviously, Castellanos, it's raining booze. He gets into another double play yesterday in a big spot. He deserves every second of it. But, like, I don't think that that is dead. I do think that people don't have player favorites, right? Cryptic Gaming says, JT stinks, bro. He's my least favorite player on the team, not named Herrera. Right, so he comes out right away. He stinks. He doesn't stink. He is still the best defensive catcher in baseball, and is hitting the ball better. He's getting, you know, he's getting hot a little bit right now, and he's going to be a big piece. He's been a big piece that they've been winning without Bryce.
Definitely,
he's had the best batting average, I'm pretty sure, since Bryce Harper has gone down on this team. He has uplifted his game since Bryce Harper has gone down. You needed somebody to do it. Schwarber's been doing it with home runs. Castellanos hasn't done squat. So we should be thankful that JT is playing well, or maybe they don't have a plus 500 record since Harper's been out.
Yeah, even Reese, I feel like the past 2 weeks or so, it's just been, he's just kind of been there. You know, he has those hot streaks, but I haven't seen anything in the past couple weeks, even from a guy like Reese
Hoskins. Right, he was hot at the very beginning, the first couple of games. Yes. And then now he's, you know, I'm not saying he stinks by any means. No. He's not really game-changing, Reese Hoskins. Or he could change a game. He could change a game, but like it's like once every couple of weeks.
And he can change a game negatively, too.
Well, yeah, that was, I don't understand.
And when he's not hitting,
I don't understand what that
that's
was
an issue
at all. But so I want to ask you, at 610-632-0975, what is your feelings toward this Phillies team? Because they win game one against the Braves, and it's crickets because, you know, I get it. They got swept by the Cubs. Nobody wants to really be that fired up about a win against the Braves because they just got swept by the Cubs. That's fair. But then they lose game two, and it's, you know, let's pour down the hate of on this team. Same old Phillies. They stink. They're never going to do anything. They win yesterday afternoon. They win a series I didn't think they would win, and I still think it's crickets. So I want to know, like, what are your actual feelings toward this team? And is Tom on to something where your distrust for the organization, because it has been so many years since they've made the playoffs? I mean, it's a different manager right now, totally different roster. The bullpen's actually good for once. The rotation, when healthy, is pretty deep. So it's not the same teams as years past. It's not the same team as last year when they fell apart and didn't make the playoffs. That's why I've been saying all year they are a different team. That's why I've been saying all year that they are going to be a playoff team. But I know that a lot of people still don't want to hear it. So what is it at 610-632-0975? Now, after all that love I just kind of portrayed for the Phillies, I do have to rip them and explain more as to why it's a love-hate relationship. Because I'm angry with them today. The New York Yankees have the second best record in baseball. They lost yesterday, which knocked them out of the number one record in all of baseball. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball now.
Shocker.
The Yankees are a winning organization, historically, right? 28 World Series championships, 27 World Series championships, something like that. A lot of World Series, okay? Like, you know, more than 10 times the amount the Phillies have, okay? The Phillies have two. The Yankees traded for Andrew Benintendi, a player who's on an expiring contract, a player who's hitting 300, a player that fills a position of need, center field for the Phillies, right? Phillies are desperate for a center fielder, so we don't have to play Odubel and Vierling and Moniak whenever he's back up. You don't have to play those guys. Jairo Munoz, like, you know, Andrew Benintendi plays every day for the rest of the season. The Yankees traded three prospects. The highest one, not Mick Abel status, right, or Logan O'Hoppe. No, they're 19th highest prospect. I know the Yankees farm system's far deeper than the Phillies and far deeper than many teams, but 19th.
It was 19th, 21st, and then one out of the top 30. That's okay. What they traded.
You know what they didn't do, Tom?
What's that, Andrew?
They didn't wait till the freaking deadline to make a move. The Atlanta Braves last year did not wait until the deadline to make a move, and they won the World Series. The Yankees, who have the second best record in baseball, the best one in the American League, didn't just, let's see what happens. No, they went out. And they made a trade, and not for just some random player, for an everyday outfielder. They were aggressive. A team that has won close to 30 World Series championships was aggressive. They are a winning organization, and the Phillies historically are a losing organization. 14 playoff appearances. 14. They've been around since 1800-whatever. They've been around forever, the Phillies. And they made the playoffs 14 times. Now, I thought maybe Dave Dombrowski, new breath of life, would be aggressive. And look what happens. The Yankees went out there and traded me and Tom for Andrew Benintendi. Okay? Do you think that 19th and 21st prospect was ever going to play for the Yankees? Maybe 5 years from now, 6 years from now. They trade for a guy that can help them win this year, and it doesn't matter how many World Series championships they have already won. They are striving to win another one. And the Phillies just sit on their hands. And so Tom texts me this morning, and I'm terrified to hear it, honestly. Tom texts me this morning. We're shooting our ideas back and forth. Sports stuff, side topics. We're going to have a lot of fun today. But I have to rip the Phillies because even though they won yesterday, won a series, they're sitting on their hands. Tom texts me saying, hey, I have some Jason Stark audio for you. You're not going to like it. So I figured, I wasn't in yesterday. I was not listening in the afternoon. Jason Stark joins the afternoon show every Wednesday during the Philly season. So yesterday he was on with Devon. So I figured, I'll wait till I'm on the air to listen to it, to give you my actual reaction. But I'm sure it has something to do with the trade deadline. Is that a nice guess?
That's a great guess.
All right, so it has something to do with the trades. And it has something to do with the Phillies' lack of aggression, or they're not looking for anything big. Is that's just a guess.
You're on to something.
Because I remember we talked about Noah Syndergaard the other day, and I told you, if that's like their move, I'm not going to be happy. Because a lot of me saying they're going to make the playoffs is banking on them making a move at the deadline. But I'm going to guess, from what you told me, because you know how I feel about this team, how much I love them, but also how much I hate them, and how much I think they desperately need to make a move, your text this morning made me angry, and I don't even know what it is. So we're going to play this Jason Stark audio on the other side, and I'm going to hear it. And then maybe you'll probably call in and say, see, Andrew, this is why I'm not going to like this team. So maybe I'm answering the question right now because Jason Stark's going to say something that's going to piss me off. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Yeah, I got carried away with the Phillies a little bit there. Eagles, training camp started yesterday. I have a question also on the other side regarding the head coach. There's a reason why on Tuesday of earlier this week, I wanted to talk about the coaching staff. Because I just wanted to focus on the coaching aspect. Because I knew there was going to be stupidity yesterday. Not from Sirianni, but from a lot of fans, because we complain about nonsense. We died to complain about things. I'll explain more coming up on the other side as well. 610-632-0975. So I'm back. Again, thank you, Connor and Tom, for holding down the fort yesterday. Two more shows. Anthony's back on Monday. So we will talk Phillies. We will talk Eagles. A lot of fun stuff in store for you. All right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
1028, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. He's back on August 1st. Tom Alvord sitting in my seat today. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. So I'll get into that Eagles conversation that I teased heading into the break in a little bit. Because, you know, we just got to complain about something at all times. And, you know, I'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But, Tom, you texted me this morning. You know, we were shooting our ideas back and forth, you know, the sports stuff, the Phillies win yesterday, trade deadline, I'm angry about Andrew Benintendi, some Eagles stuff that I have in store for you later on today, the crock pot, which I used yesterday, and how it's just an absolute game changer, and I don't think gets enough love. I really don't. So we'll talk about that at some point today. But you responded with your list of things, and one of them was Jason Stark audio I have for you. You're not going to like it. And so I can only imagine it has something to do with the lack of aggression at the trade deadline, to which you said, yeah. I have not heard this. I wanted to wait until we were live on the air to hear it. And so, I don't know, can you set it up a little bit for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So I'm listening to Jason Stark on with the afternoon show. Great interview. Extremely important interview. His last interview before the trade deadline.
Yes,
very important.
That's something that we should have cuts for.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't even think that. So I'm listening to him like, wow, this is really good. He says a lot of good stuff. He breaks it down. And he says the Phillies, when it comes to the deadline, are shopping in three aisles in the grocery store.
Okay.
And he lists them. So I'm going to play you three different cuts, and I would love your reaction to all three cuts.
Okay. Okay. So what do we got?
We're going to start with the bullpen.
Okay.
Bullpen. Again, if they were going to draw it up, it would be a true closer at an affordable cost. You know, you got so many relievers out there. It's conceivable somebody falls through the cracks and they get that guy they need. I mean, there are dozens of relievers on the market. There will be affordable options. I think Dave will wait on that because the last day, you're going to see some panic, I think.
Okay. That's fine. We've been saying for weeks now that they should acquire somebody to bolster the bullpen. It's pretty good right now, but you're really relying on a handful of guys. You're relying on Sir Anthony. You're relying on Brad Hand. Connor Brogdon has been pitching much better.
Yes.
Alvarado has been good since he got sent down. His last outing was a little dicey, but hey, that's fine. I do kind of still worry that he's a ticking time bomb. But,
oh, me too.
But we'll see. He's been pitching better. Other than that, you go, okay, you've gotten more than I expected, I have Andrew Bilotti, but am I going to ride into the playoffs with Andrew Bilotti as a big option? No. Nick Nelson, middle reliever. Come playoff time, I'd rather have a four-man rotation and use one of the starters, the fifth starter, as a middle relief guy, long relief guy. So you've gotten some contributions, but you should really bolster it. And a name that I heard very early on, probably early in June, was Gregory Soto, who's the closer for the Tigers. You know, so I've been keeping a close eye on him. He's still pitching very well. He is kind of like Alvarado, where he's a little wild, but from, you know, also from the left side.
Can't wait.
But much more effective. He's got a 2.43 ERA this year. He had a 3.39 ERA last year, so he got better. He has 18 saves. I don't see how many blown saves he's had, so let me try to find. I mean, he's 2-5 in the year, so clearly he's blown a few. But 35 appearances, 2.43 ERA. Not too bad, right?
Nah.
The only thing that I question is the word that Jason Stark said was closer. I'm still all on board Seranthony Domínguez being the closer. I understand why they would try to pitch him in higher pressure situations, like if the middle of the order's up in the eighth inning. But that's why you have Brad Hand. Brad Hand, a former closer, can then go in and pitch in the ninth inning. But maybe they want a set reliever so that they could use Seranthony Domínguez as their Josh Hader, just from the right side, or they can move all over the place. That's why Corey Knebel was signed to be a closer. He's kind of he's gotten a little bit better. I wouldn't really trust him in the ninth right now. So we'll see. That cut, I don't totally hate.
No major issues, right?
No.
And he said that there's a lot of options out there. Some could fall through the cracks, and he may be patient towards the end. Maybe they're looking for a guy that can close, but they'd like to use him maybe as an eighth inning guy. No issues with that.
Yeah, that,
no
that,
real issues.
I have no problem with that. And relievers aren't going to cost that much money. Just, you know, I just don't want a guy that, you know, has an ERA of 5 this year and you're like, oh, he's had past success. Like,
nah, I'm good on that.
That's what the old Phillies did with Matt Klentak, you know, the Brandon Workmans and all those guys. Like, he had a good year last year, even though his career ERA is like in the 6s. So. Okay, that's the only thing I'll say about that.
Okay. So next we're going to move over to the rotation.
Okay.
And you may recognize one of the names that Jason Stark mentions.
Okay.
Rotation, especially in the wake of Zach Eflin. They're looking for a number 3, number 4 type starter, someone who can start a playoff game, someone ideally who could start game 3 of a best of 3. So, I mean, it won't be Luis Castillo because he's the top of this market. But then after him, Tyler Malley, Noah Syndergaard, Chad Kuhl, someone like that. Be really surprised if they don't come away with someone who fits that description.
Okay, so I've been really all season long saying I would prefer a top 2 rotation guy, not ace, because you have Zach Wheeler. Now, Aaron Nola's also pitched a lot better than I expected him to. I did not think that Aaron Nola would have as bad as a year last year. I just think he's pitching a lot better than I expected this year. All right, so they want a number 3. Now the Syndergaard name pops up. Is Noah Syndergaard better than Kyle Gibson?
I think Kyle Gibson is a better ERA.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so Jason Stark says they want to trade for a guy that can be the third starter in a playoff rotation. Is Syndergaard better than Ranger Suarez?
No, especially not recent.
That's what I'm saying. Like. Yeah. Okay, so if you want a number 3, give me an actual number 3. Malley, I guess. You know,
I like the name Malley.
He would be the number 1 out of those names that he gave.
Cool, I don't hate because he's pitching in Colorado and he still had a pretty okay year this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hate that, but I know you don't love the whole
Syndergaard. Well, because Syndergaard, I don't think he's the third best pitcher on the staff now.
He probably wouldn't be.
That's what I'm saying. So, all right, so you trade for Syndergaard for what? Who are you going to bump out? The only thing you're bumping is the hope that Eflin comes back. Because if Eflin is healthy, he's your number 3. Like, that's not even a debate. And then Gibson's your 4, or Suarez is your 4, then one of them's your 5. Like, Syndergaard, I don't even know if he's in the rotation. He's gotten worse every year.
I think he'd be in the rotation. He had a nice start to the season this year. He's teetered off a bit. Now, maybe.
Yeah, because he stinks.
That's
well, no,
possible.
Seriously, he's in the rotation. Who's getting bumped out then?
I think they're would have my mindset, similar to my mindset, where they're not counting on Eflin to produce for them this season.
And they shouldn't.
Yes, correct.
But let's say he does come back toward the end of the season. You're not bumping out Gibson or Suarez.
Also, another thing I read on The Athletic, Syndergaard's been pitching every 6 days. They have a six-man rotation in Los Angeles. So how does that work if he comes here and he's in a five-man rotation without Eflin here?
Yeah, and
so look, something that I'm sure they're
he's had a lot of arm issues in the past. So I don't know. I don't love that idea. Okay, I'm in. But Syndergaard, I just go, who is he actually replacing right now? I don't think he's that good. But all right, that's the first two. So I'm not going to like this one.
So if you go back to our conversation a little bit earlier this week, we mentioned the center field position. And I'll let Jason just say what he has to say.
Third aisle is one that we haven't talked about much, but that's center field. What I'm hearing is, this would be a glove type center fielder as opposed to a thumper, and this could be one of a number of players: Michael A. Taylor, Victor Robles, Jose Siri, Christian Pache, Jake Marisnik. I'm throwing out names. It won't be Brian Reynolds, but somebody who can catch the ball in center field.
I don't know if you heard that last part.
Just somebody who can catch the ball in center field.
It won't be Brian Reynolds.
Yeah. Can they explain to me why? Can Dave Dombrowski explain to me why? Is it, we don't want to part ways with any prospects? Why? Proven versus unknown, always.
Which,
especially when a guy's got another 3 years left on his contract.
He also mentioned, and I don't have the cut on me, my apologies, Painter and Abel are a hell no. They've said no on Ohapi, McGarry, and Brown, from what I've heard as well. So they are not topping with, absolutely not, their top two guys, and maybe even that second tier underneath, as of now.
Can I ask you a question then about the catcher position?
Sure, absolutely.
You got Real Muto. I know, there's a million Garrett Stubbses out there. You still got, what the hell's his name? He's on the team last year.
Marshawn.
Yeah. And now you have Ohapi.
It's a lot of catchers.
It's a lot of, you should part ways with one of them.
You don't need that many.
You don't need that many catchers on your team. So this pisses me off, okay? What is Christian Pache, one of the names that Jason Stark brought up, do that Matt Vierling doesn't do? Now he said catches the baseball. Vierling hasn't killed you defensively. Christian Pache is hitting 159 this year. He's a career 149 hitter.
That's not good.
Victor Robles is having a better season this year at 239.
Big time prospect coming up, but that was years ago.
Yeah, in 2019, he batted 255 and hit 17 home runs. So you go, maybe he's starting to turn things on. He then followed up with three home runs, two home runs, three home runs this year. His batting averages were 220, 203, 239. Oh, his on-base percentage, a speed guy, 293, 310, and 300. So what does Victor Robles do for you? Again, I'd rather just, and he bats right, throws right, so it's not like
you're platooning.
You're platooning with Vierling. I'm not saying, no, dear God, please don't bench Matt Vierling. I'm just saying, what are you really getting here out of those names?
A whole lot of nothing. I didn't even recognize the one name that he said. And I, like to think I'm relatively tuned into the game of baseball. Those are all bench pieces, platoon guys.
Like Michael A. Taylor's probably the best one because he's having a better season this year. A whopping .279 batting average with six home runs. 350 on base. This is the ninth season of his career. This is the best year he's ever had.
Lefty or righty?
He bats right-handed.
So it's, yeah.
So my question is, what are you doing? Because you're not really making your team any better. You're kind of just the same guy. All these guys are another Vierling or another Odubel or another Moniak. They're all the same player. So what are you doing that's gonna benefit your outfield? If you want a glove, that means you don't trust Odubel. Then you just play Vierling every day. But if you go, all right, well, we want a left-handed bat. Well, two of the guys I just mentioned don't hit left-handed,
and two of the best guys in that list.
Yes, of a very weak list.
Yes, correct.
why wouldn't you want a guy like Brian Reynolds, who can hit the ball well, play a good center field, and you have him under control for 3 years? It's not like you're parting way. Oh, God forbid we trade Logan Ohapi for a guy that we'll have for another 3 years. Who knows if Ohapi's up in 3 years or still on this team? He could be the catcher of the future. I get it. Once Real Muto's contract is over, I don't know. He could suck for all I know.
And Connor and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Listen, I know everyone loves the top prospects in this organization, especially Dave Dombrowski. That's obvious. Man, if you're talking about getting a guy like Brian Reynolds, who's under team control, who is a very good center fielder that can hit for you as well high in the lineup, yes. You're getting him under control and potentially a relief arm as well. Man, I'm parting with a kid in Mick Abel who won't be up in 3 years in a second. That's just me. I'm looking at this team with a win now-ish window, not this year,
yeah.
Window. A guy like Brian Reynolds helps you immensely more than a guy like Mick Abel would in these next three, 4 years.
And Brian Reynolds, he's also a switch hitter, right? That's so nice. You could platoon him, period. He's the platoon. He bats from both sides. And I know his average is down this year at 250 compared to his 302 last year, but he's playing for the god-awful Pirates.
And if that's down a 250 average, yes. You can do a whole lot worse.
And he's got 15 home runs, so he's got some pop. That's more than what Odubel and Vierling have. Is that more than what they have combined? Let's see. Odubel Herrera has 5 home runs. Matt Vierling, is he at 5 yet? I mean, Matt Vierling doesn't even pop up right away on Pro Baseball Reference. Here's Matt Vierling. He has a whopping 3 home runs.
That's 8.
So that's 8. Look, well, let's add Mickey Moniak into the conversation. Please. 0. Hey, for S and giggles, I'll put his 1 career home run into the conversation. So that's 9. And you know what? Let me add Vierling's 5 career home runs. So 2 more. So that's 11.
And Reynolds can also swipe bags as well.
Yes.
A good amount of steals this year.
That makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. And it's because you don't want to part ways with any of your top prospects. And Ari Bluestein checks in, you only give up your top prospects if you're ready to win a title. Yeah, but if you have them under control for 2 more seasons, you could win a title next year. The Phillies could be World Series contenders next season. Everybody's healthy. They add a legit arm like during the offseason, right? Not just a guy like Trevor Mallee, right? You get a legit arm during the offseason.
And listen, a guy, and I know new names pop up, you can't wait. A guy like Reynolds is going to be traded at this deadline. So it's not like, oh, we'll circle back and get him next offseason when we're ready to win. No, he's not going to be available. Now, like I said, more guys may be available, but they might not be to the talent level of a guy like Brian Reynolds.
And what happened to this whole Dave Dombrowski, he doesn't care about prospects? What happened to that?
I miss that guy, honestly.
Because remember, people were scared. Oh, he's going to trade away our prospects. What prospects? Who cares? Who cares about the Phillies prospects? They never have any, okay? They all come up here and they're Scott Kingery. They're Mickey Moniak. They all stink, okay? So why wouldn't you try to part ways with one of these guys? And remember, I said something. I think we've been having this conversation for the last couple of weeks as we've been getting closer to the trade deadline. And you said, and you were smart because I said, how come they're not being aggressive now? And you said, maybe other teams are waiting to see what the market is. That's not what Jason Stark said at all. That has nothing to do with market. The only kind of market part of it was the bullpen and how guys are going to end up getting traded. But other than that, he said, no, the Phillies are going to go get Victor Robles. Yippee.
And Noah Syndergaard, potentially.
And that's why I understand why people feel a certain type of way about this team.
Now, listen, these moves, realistically, could hit. There's a big possibility that if they get a guy like Daniel Bard or a guy like Gregory Soto and a guy like Trevor Mallee, and they perform up to their standards because they have a lot of talent, those two guys, you could legit have a legit number 3 and an 8th inning guy that you can count on, and it could work out. But those are big question marks, too. It could also be a guy like Syndergaard, who maybe could have some injury issues, or a guy like Chad Kuhl, who's really only had, a good season and a half. So, in theory, it could work out perfectly, but it could also not work out, and we could be a month away from the deadline, wow, what did we really get here?
And again, my disgust with the organization right now, even though I love them, comes from those cuts that you just played me. Thanks a lot, Tom. It's also the Benintendi thing. So Jason Stark said hell no to Mick Abel and Andrew Painter?
Correct.
I'm sorry. Are Mick Abel and Andrew Painter the Yankees' 19th highest prospect?
No.
The Yankees gave up nothing for a player who, yeah, final year of his deal. That's fine. You know, maybe you try to work something out during the offseason, or maybe you get a better center fielder in free agency, or maybe you have a guy in the farm system. You know, you do something. The Yankees traded away nothing for a guy who they could play every day in center field for them. They can move Judge, you know, Stan, whoever they want to move around. They can DH one of those two guys. Benintendi can play every day for them.
So let's say they gave up their 19th and 21st prospects. Let's say the Phillies have to give up their, you know, 12th prospect.
Yeah, because their prospects aren't as good as the Yankees. I understand that.
Does a guy like Jordan Vyers do much for you?
Who?
Yes. Casey Martin?
No, I don't care.
Kendall Simmons, their 15th ranked prospect.
I'd rather have Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Or maybe is that Kendall Jenner?
Did she
actually marry Ben?
It's a great question.
You know, I don't know. Like,
would you rather have those guys in 3 years than a guy like Andrew Benintendi?
Yeah, I want Casey Martin. Yeah, screw Andrew Benintendi.
Sorry, dude. Hate to bum you out.
I just, you know, I love this organization, and yet this is the stuff I get. So a couple tweets come in. This is from the sports dad, 215. Because I asked earlier, you know, do you just like not like this team? Because I feel like people don't really like this team. They just took 2 of 3 against the Braves. We should be, you know, play a song, shoot his train, all that kind of stuff. But it's cricket. So sports dad goes, it's the distrust with this organization. The fact that once again, they're not being aggressive and being patient. Needed to make moves weeks ago. And there's not one good reason that Benintendi shouldn't be in our outfield. And it's a disgrace having bullpen games. Bullpen games happen in Major League Baseball, but usually they have good bullpens, these teams. Also, the Benintendi thing, you're right. You can't tell me why he's not on this team.
Yeah.
Like Dave Dombrowski, whenever he has his post-trade deadline press conference, if somebody asks, like, hey, how come Andrew Benintendi's not on this team? He can't give you a good reason. Oh, wow.
We don't want to part with the top prospects.
Yeah.
That didn't cost you your top prospects.
Yeah, but Dave, it was the 19th overall prospect and like some change. Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I'm still working on the prospects here, right? So that'd be a little bit higher for us. Okay, Dave. So you're happy with Christian Pache? Oh, yeah, love him. Love him. I think he's going to turn the season around.
Ton of potential.
You know. Bryant Brothers checks in. I hope the Phillies don't wait till it's too late to make a move. It's a difference between winning organizations and losing ones. There you go. The Yankees are a historic winning organization. The Phillies, historic losing organization. But that shouldn't make any difference right now, right? Like, that should do nothing right now. It should just be, you know, it's a new year. It's a new page, new chapter. Oh, God, that bothers me, man. All right, so Phillies are on the table. 610-632-0975. They disappointed me so much today. As much as I love it, as fired up as I am that they won yesterday. Like, this stuff happens. Disappointed me so much that I still haven't gotten to the Eagles. I have an Eagles-related question that I will open up on the other side to start the 11 o'clock hour. We have morning thoughts coming up at 11:10. And I have a lottery-related question now that it's over. I didn't win. It's over $1 billion.
Well, you're here, so.
Yeah. It's over $1 billion now. I would probably still come in, like, out of respect to, like, hang out with you.
I appreciate that. I don't believe you, but I appreciate it.
You know, maybe I'd throw you, like, $20. Like, here you go, Tom.
What a nice guy you are.
For your troubles.
Thanks for
the last couple
a third of a tank of gas.
Yeah, you're
appreciate
welcome. But, yeah, I have a lottery-related question at 11:10. I have an Eagles fandom-related question because I don't understand why we're constantly finding things to bitch and moan about. But, yeah, and the Phillies. Here we are now. If you could, Tom, I'd like you to put up a poll. Like, if they don't make a move, try to word it some way, but if they don't make a move of note, which I talked about the other day, where are we as Phillies fans? Because the St. Louis Cardinals are, what, a half a game ahead of the Phillies right now in the
Correct.
Wild card?
Yep, they won last night.
They're rumored for Soto.
Yes, they are.
And they're just a half game ahead of the Phillies. For the final wild card spot. They're not the first wild card spot, second wild card spot. They're not winning the division right now. They're the third wild card spot. And they're rumored to get Juan Soto. They're gonna try to get him. They are a historic winning organization. Phillies are not. You know, the Padres are a small market team. They're kind of waiting for Tatis Jr. to come back, but I'm sure they're going to make a move.
Oh, yeah. They've been rumored with Soto as well.
Yeah. Braves won the World Series last year. It's not like they're in first place of the division right now. They're a wild card team. They're probably going to make a move. What's the difference between the Phillies and the Cardinals? Seriously, what's the difference between the Phillies and the Cardinals right now? There is none. They're a half a game. Yes, that's the difference.
That's very minimal.
610-632-0975. My Nick Sirianni question on the other side. Also, morning thoughts coming up at 11:10. We're filling in for the Cuts till the first, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! 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 11 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. He will be back on August 1st. We got morning thoughts in 11 minutes at 11:10, so we'll get to that coming up soon. Just had something pop up on my timeline, Tom, and you as a big baseball fan would remember this. Now, I've talked about this in the past. When I was in high school, I had like serious sleeping issues where I didn't sleep. Like, it was like I would go like 3 days, like not sleep.
Doesn't seem healthy.
No, it wasn't. And I don't know. It's not like I started doing anything different that changed it. Like, it just got better, right? Like, and that's why, but I'm like still used to
it. That's weird.
And I'm still used to it. So when people go, oh man, how are you handling lack of sleep with the baby? It's actually, I'm okay.
Like, were you up playing video games or something? Or you just like, were like rolling around?
Dude, I would lay in bed. Stare up.
I would have nights like that in high school.
Oh, dude, it was like all the time. It would go a couple days.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then finally pure exhaustion would set in, and like I just like finally wipe out.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're
probably why I didn't do well in school, because I like wasn't, you know, wasn't sleeping. That's the reason why. But something happened. Yesterday was a 11-year anniversary of something. Do you remember the Pirates-Braves game that went 19 innings and there was a play at the plate and the guy was out by a mile and the umpire called him safe?
Vaguely.
And I'll text it to you right now. And Julio Lugo was vaguely on the Braves. He didn't even like touch home plate, right? And the guy called him safe. He went back and touched home plate. This is pre-replay or anything. And I remember that was like when the conversation started of, all right, we desperately need replay in Major League Baseball.
And he was just ready to get help.
That was like 11 years ago yesterday. It was 19 innings. I watched like 15 of it.
Like, did you really?
Like, I think I, because I,
Pirates Braves?
I was up, right? Like, I was up. And so I think I finally eventually fell asleep one of those nights where I slept like an hour or two. It was 19 innings. It was a 7 hour long baseball game. And I watched like the majority of it. And then I remember going to bed and waking up the next morning and going, oh, I'm curious, how did that end? And I like went on, you know, ESPN or something.
Yeah.
And saw that. I was like, are you serious? Yeah, that's how that game ended. I was up for 15 innings of it.
He was out by a good 5 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And the umpire called him safe. So that's, yeah, just popped up on the top. I filed so many baseball things that, like, you know, it was like,
it was bound to happen.
You know, the guy's still not safe.
I may have said it. There was the one game where I forget who it was against, Phillies game a couple years ago, probably like 5 years ago, and it went into like 15 innings or something like that. And I was staying at my girlfriend's at the time, and I was watching it on my phone, and I stayed up the entire time, and I had like CBS or ESPN notifications. And I got the notification that the game ended on a walk-off home run before the game ended. So I'd stayed up till 2 a.m. waiting to watch it, and it was ruined for me.
Oh, that sucks.
I think it was a position player pitching, too, and like some backup for the Phillies hit a walk-off home run. I'll remember it, but I was just like...
And when was this?
She was in Delaware, so probably like 5 years ago.
Was it the Valdez game when he was pitching?
It may have been.
Was it when Velasquez threw the guy out at home?
Wasn't that when it was before then. It was some backup catcher or something like that that hit it, or backup outfield or something. And it was a position player pitching because it was like inning 18 or 17 or something. And I spent all night
staying up. Eric Kratz, the backup catcher.
No, I don't think so.
Cameron Rupp.
No, it wasn't rough. I'll find it. But it was another one of those, like, wow, I can't believe
that sucks. Yeah, that sucks that that got spoiled for you. All right, before we get to morning thoughts, just coming up in 7 minutes, I do have a question about the Eagles. It is kind of fascinating to me that nobody wants to talk about the Phillies right now, which, you know, we'll get into that conversation coming up. But so training camp starts yesterday. Now I'll ask you, Tom, you were on the air. I was off yesterday. I'm guessing people were fired up yesterday. Training camp begins. You guys were probably going through all the videos. You probably read all the live tweeting from the beat reporters and the stats. And I'm sure every time there was like a Jalen Hurts played well, I'm sure everybody was super excited. But
we
then
talked about.
But then if he threw an interception, people were like, "Why are you even tweeting this out? You hate the Eagles."
The first pass that like circulated, Brandon Lee Gauton tweeted it out, and it was a pass behind A.J. Brown.
I saw that one in the end zone, yeah.
Freaking out about it.
But, yes. Like, they're angry. People are angry when you post something negatively.
Yes.
Oh, it's just training camp. Get over it. But then, like, oh, Jalen Reagor makes a one-handed catch, and it's like, whoa.
Look at this.
Oh, that's why they drafted him first round, because one-handed catches in the joint practice. So I'm sure that was a lot of it yesterday. People were fired up when things were good and very angry when things were bad.
Yes, and pretty much, and for the most part, people seem to realize that it is just training camp and it wasn't too much of a reaction, at least what we noticed.
Now, can I ask you something? I don't know if you guys got any calls on it or if you got any interaction on YouTube or Twitter about it, but I saw it on the timeline. And I know other hosts in the city talked about it. Can I ask you something, Tom? Why are we still complaining about what shirts Nick Sirianni wears?
It's a great question.
Now, did that come up at all yesterday?
It did not. Not on a lot of the phones, not in conversation at least.
Because I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw people talking about it. And I just... Why do we have to complain about something? Right? Like, I get, you know, when there's something to bitch and moan about, we are good. We're good at it, right? But sometimes I feel like we're constantly trying to find something to complain about, right? How about we be happy for once? So Nick Sirianni wears a Jalen Hurts shirt yesterday.
It's a cool shirt, by the way.
Now, I remember last year the argument over the Brandon Graham shirt. Well, what if he has to cut him? Well, he's not cutting Brandon Graham. Jalen Hurts might not be the quarterback next year, but he is this year. So, look, he's rocking the shirt. That's great. I also saw people complaining that he had a nice handshake with Jalen Hurts. And I saw stuff like, he's too tight with him. He's too close with him. What if he has to sit him down? No, it's his team. Like, Gardner Minshew can hang out in his van down by the river. Like, he can do that if he wants. But it's Jalen Hurts' team for at least this season. Might not be next year. But for this year, he's the starting quarterback of this team. Sirianni wants to have a handshake with his guy? Go for it. He wants to rock his T-shirt? Go for it. The reason why, Tom, and I planned this out purposely, that we had the Sirianni, Steichen, Gannon conversation on Tuesday before the first practice was because I didn't want to have to like talk about this. I'd rather have just focused on the football aspect of Nick Sirianni as the head coach. Do you like him? Do you not? Do you believe he's the guy? We ran that poll question. Would he have a longer tenure than Doug Peterson, which was 5 seasons? Majority of people said yes.
Yep, they did.
Majority of people said yes, and Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. That's great. I'm glad that we had that conversation on Tuesday because for the life of me, I don't understand why we have to find something to bitch and complain about. I'm not calling out everybody. I'm not. This is probably the vocal minority. But what's the problem? Honestly, Tom, is there a reason? Just like there's no reason the Phillies shouldn't have acquired Andrew Benintendi, is there a reason why we need to complain about Nick Sirianni wearing a Jalen Hurts T-shirt? Like, can you give me an actual good reason? Because no, he's not. He doesn't have a quarterback battle this year, so he's not siding with anybody. Has nothing to do with the future of the team as this year. So what's wrong with him wearing the Hurts T-shirt? Why do we have to complain?
I think some people out there just complain for the sake of complaining. I think people enjoy being negative just to be negative. I mean, we see it with the Phillies all the time. We see it with the Sixers. Like, they could win 9 in a row, the Phillies. They lose that 10th game. And
screw the Phillies! Same old team!
Don't get your hopes up. They're going to be the same old Phillies.
I got that.
Oh, I know.
When they won
did.
9 straight with Thompson.
You got the train fun police. Crashing.
Yeah, I got the train crashing gifts after they lost. They won 9 straight, and then I had the fun police out
there. I think people are negative just for the sake of being negative. They complain just for the sake to complain, and that doesn't sound like a fun life to me. Hey, you do you. But to me, I try and enjoy things when I can every now and then.
I don't get it, man. Like, Dude wants to rock a t-shirt, rock the t-shirt. I don't care. Dude wants to have a handshake with Jalen Hurts. Cool. That's awesome. Like, connect with your players. Maybe in today's NFL, it's a little bit different, where it's not it's just like, no, you're his boss. Like, if Chuck D'Amico wants to have a handshake with me, that's kind of cool.
If he wore a
Tom
Alvord
shirt. Next week, but...
That's a good point. It's a Tom Alvord shirt he's wearing. I'd be like, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Weird, but pretty cool.
Thanks for rocking my face on your shirt, and thanks for having my back. You know, you might fire me soon, but like, at least I feel kind of confident today. You know, today I see that shirt, I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to come up with a handshake? All right, that sounds great. Love that. But there's people that find the need to have to complain about it. And I honestly don't know why. And we're going to do something later on today about that. The stuff that we've overly complained about in the past in Philadelphia sports, because there's so much of it, and I don't understand it. But I need to know. At 610-632-0975, alongside our Phillies conversation, and we'll get to the poll before morning thoughts. Why? Why do we feel the need to have to complain about something like Nick Sirianni wearing a t-shirt? You might not be the person that's complaining, but I'm trying to find this out. I'm trying to figure out why. So maybe you might have some insight. Maybe you know that person that is complaining. Oh my God, look at this guy. He had another analogy yesterday, right? Talking about climbing a mountain.
Climbing mountains, yes.
The reason why we had the conversation on Tuesday about Nick Sirianni was so I could avoid t-shirt talk, so I could avoid handshake talk, and so I could avoid press conferences. Because there were people in this damn building, Tom, that thought he wasn't going to be a good head coach because of his introductory press conference.
Yes.
Stupid. Like, let the guy talk. Who cares how he talks? If the guy's a good coach, he's a good coach. So I wanted to avoid all that kind of stuff. But here we go, another analogy. Yeah. Listen, the flower thing worked last year. So, you know, if you want to climb mountains, climb mountains. Okay? Like, I don't really care. I don't care what he has to say to the press in the press conferences. I don't care what he wears. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. But I know people complain about it, so I want to know why. Why? The poll, please, Tom.
Sure. Since you asked so nicely.
Yeah, thank
you. The poll of the day, as always, is brought to you by Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com. On the official 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account, if the Phillies don't make a noteworthy move before the deadline, are you out on the season? You're not going to like this. Yes, must make team better at 46%.
Okay.
No, still a good enough team at 36%.
You're lying to yourself.
Already out 18%.
Why?
I don't know.
I get it. There's people that don't like baseball. So be it. But, you know, I remember 08, there were people that didn't like baseball that were in.
Yes.
Because, you know, it was the talk of the town. If they go on a run to make the playoffs for the first time in 11 years, where were you 11 years ago? Right? Like stop and think for a second. Like, what were you doing 11 years ago? I just told you about a Pirates Braves end of a game 11 years ago, right? Like, where were you? I was in high school not sleeping watching that game, okay? Where were you 11 years ago? So, I don't know why you'd be already out.
One-fifth of the fan base.
But I know that people don't like this team. I can tell. That's why I opened up the show with it. Like, people don't like this team. People don't like individual players, multiple individual players, and they don't like the organization because of the losing ways. I don't blame you for that. But when things are going well, like they just won a series against the Braves. Shocks me. All right. 610-632-0975. Chew on all the stuff I just gave you, but it's time now for some morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up! Will you just shut your trap?
Please. Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because... what were you thinking about this morning?
All right, so I didn't really have like a morning thought like when I first woke up, but I thought of one down the road because I checked my email and I saw the email yesterday and I read this email probably around like 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning. And I was like, oh, well, I got to go find my $2. I take it you got the email from Greg Monahan, correct?
Yes, correct.
Greg Monahan does an incredible job with all kinds of graphics that we have. You see the graphics online. You also see the graphics, do we have something right now? Oh, no. There was the James Harden beard behind me for a while. You know, there's stuff behind Tom. Oh, the beard's behind you. There's all kind of stuff behind you. That's all put together by Greg Monahan. So Greg Monahan put out the email. bring $2 down to my desk by the end of the day tomorrow, because the Mega Millions is now the Mega Billions. It's over $1 billion. Now, I'll ask you first, Tom, did you bring down $2 to him?
I have not. I can still do it, right?
Yes, okay. By the end of the day.
I'm going to do that.
And I'll have to ask, because I think you should do it. I was thinking about this morning. If your office lottery pool wins.
Yes.
Like, and you didn't put the $2 down. You got to quit, right?
Yeah, I feel like you do have to.
Like, you can't
be. They're already getting a lot of people quitting anyway.
Well, no, that's number one, right? Like, all the people that win, I guess, leave the job. But then if you didn't play the lottery, the simple $2, you didn't put in the $2, you're now walking in here every day, and you're reminded every day that you didn't play the company lottery pool.
I remember a story probably like 5-10 years ago coming out that a dude did it every single week, put the $2 in at work, and he didn't do it one week.
No way.
And they won that week he didn't do it. Now, they gave him money because he always did it.
Okay.
But the one week he didn't do it, or one month, whatever it was, they ended up winning that month.
Now good on them for giving him the money. Good on him for doing that.
They didn't have to do.
They did not have to do that. But look, I mean, there's multiple. This is a company-wide, like, we have 5 radio stations in this cluster, and there's sales staff, there's everybody behind the scenes that we talk about every once in a while, like Greg Monahan, right? So you can't give it to everybody who didn't put in $2.
No.
So, like, I'm honestly curious, like, if let's say you didn't put the $2 in, and I win, right? Would you stick around? Because then you'd probably get my job, which is a good spot, right? Midday producer, right? Like, full time, you get benefits, get a salary, but you're also reminded every day that you could be a millionaire.
Of what could have been.
And so then I wonder, like, these company-wide pools, like, when somebody wins, does that company just go under?
That's like, a think about question, it.
Like, let's say you have a law firm.
Yeah.
And you have, like, the 6 best lawyers on the East Coast, and they win the lottery, and they all quit. Now you're scrambling to find lawyers, right? And then
that are on par with the lawyers you had, which you're not going to get.
But you're probably going to hire a couple of not so good lawyers out of necessity, because you need to keep the law firm open. And now the law firm stinks because you lost your top lawyers. So do companies go like the?
That's a great question.
Again, my mind works in mysterious ways. And that's what my mind has been stuck on all day. I personally, if I didn't put the $2 in and the lottery hit, I would not come back to work. I wouldn't come in here because I would be reminded every single day. Because I would not see the people that did win. Well, and I'd be like, God, that guy left because he won millions of dollars.
The issue is then, now you don't have a lottery ticket or lottery winning ticket, and you don't have a job.
I don't care.
Because you quit,
I'll find a new one. Okay. For my own... the personal self-care.
Sanity.
I could not come in here. I couldn't make the drive to Bala Cynwyd every single day, park in this parking lot, walk up to the 4th floor, and walk in this building, not seeing, half the people because I didn't play the $2.
Yeah, I have, like, big time, like, karma kind of thing with that, where, like, hey, did you put the $2 in for the lottery? No, but I will. I have to, because I just feel in my mind that, like, oh, they're going to win if I don't put it in.
Put the $2 in.
Yes. I always think like
now,
that.
Now, one more thing.
Sure.
Before I get to your morning thought. I kind of wanted to keep this a secret, because by the grace of God, we might win. You never know. I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I put $2 in for Anthony.
Did you? That's a good move.
Because if he was here, he would put $2 in.
He absolutely would.
I also said to Greg Monahan, if I didn't put $2 in for him, and he would think I didn't think of him, I think I would die. Like, I think he would find whatever island I moved to.
Correct.
And he would murder me.
He absolutely
like,
would.
Like, I think he would kill me.
I don't know if I would blame him, honestly.
No, I wouldn't either. Together. Because he'd be like, dude, what the bleep? Like, why didn't you? And I personally, like, I would feel weird. Like, would I just split? Like, would I give him my half?
He would come in so excited. Oh, my God, I can't believe you won it. Thank you, Tunis. You put it in, right?
Oh, I wouldn't even be here. I'd be gone.
You'd be gone.
I'd be gone. He'd be like, where's Tunis at?
Go to your house.
Oh, then. Tunis won the millions of dollars. He put $2 in. And then he'd go, wait, did he not think of me? I thought that was a good move on my part.
Yes, that was a good move. That's like, a great job.
Because I would feel terrible.
And it's a smart move, too. Not just a good... It's smart because now you'll
another
be alive.
Chance. That's true. Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, no you,
yes.
You'll be
and
alive.
Be alive yeah, to actually enjoy my millions of
correct.
Dollars. But yeah, so like part of me goes... Like I had this thought like, oh, if we win, I could be like, hey, man, just want to let you know lottery pool happened and we won. And then he'd be like, oh, my God, I didn't put my name in. And then I'd say I did. And I'd be like, here's your like $40 million.
That'd be nice.
So... I didn't bring $2 in for you. I figured you're here.
I figured. All good.
What's your morning thought, Tom?
Yes, so I had kind of a bummer morning thought because news...
Oh, good.
Love to bring the mood down. News circulated last night, and then I saw it again this morning. Mike Trout, he's dealing with a rare condition in his back that he likely will have to manage through the rest of his career. That is according to Angels head athletic trainer Mike Frostad, I believe is how you say
yes.
his name. He's out in the IL with a rib injury. He says he expects to play this season, but like I feel like we're starting to see like the breaking down of Mike Trout. I believe he's in his late 20s. I should have looked it up before this. We're starting to see the breaking down of Mike Trout, and that kind of sucks because Mike Trout might be like one of the greatest players of all time. And it kind of got me thinking of like how hard it is to have like a long, successful career when you're like one of these all-time greats. Like we have Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera still in the league right now, and people kind of make fun of them to an extent, quote unquote, because like, these guys are just out there just because of the name. Like they really shouldn't be out there, but
yeah.
like, they're still, Albert Pujols hit a home run again last night. Like, they're still contributing.
He went 3-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah, they're still contributing to an extent. So, like, Albert Pujols is 42 years old, and he's still contributing. It got me thinking how hard it is to actually have one of these all-time great careers. And it also got me thinking, like, we should appreciate these guys more yes. than just, like, bashing them. Like, any guy. Any,
yeah, that's why I was pro Pujols in the home run derby.
Well,
you were.
Well,
I love Pot Me Kettle.
We didn't need that.
Yeah,
no.
Mr.
That's
he
too much
be
appreciation.
And then he beat Schwarber.
Too much appreciation.
He was rigged, but whatever.
Absolutely was rigged. But I don't know. We're so quick to bash guys like Patrick Mahomes.
Well, look, I'll bash Udonis Haslam because he hasn't played
no,
in like 8 years.
He is not an all-time great. No, that is not nearly the same extent. But guys like that, like a LeBron James, a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant,
yes.
we're so quick to bash. And they can be bashed at moments, but like when we really should be appreciating
look at James Harden. James Harden's a top 75
yeah.
player all time. He's hated nationally.
And it also got me like, where does he rank in terms of like greatest players you've seen hitter-wise? Because like Albert Pujols, Barry Bonds is up there. Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, he's right in that tier when it comes to some of the greatest players I've ever seen. Oh, I'm only 27. I know you're 28
yeah.
now. Wow, I'm 28. That's
happy birthday.
Thank you.
I mean, dude, he's up there. He is up there. And it's funny. I've had this this thought cross my mind, right? Baseball was my best sport playing. Like, you know, like I football didn't work out for me. Basketball didn't work out for me. Hockey, I didn't even attempt on skates because I tried skating once and I fell and I was like, yeah, no, this ain't for me.
Yeah,
like,
I'm out.
Like, why am I, like, what is this thing? Like, I'd rather run on flat ground. You know, baseball, I played at a decent level, right? And then I realized, okay, so I had a chance to walk on to a team, and I didn't, you know.
In college, yeah. Right, yeah.
So I wasn't good enough to play D1 college, right? Could have played D3, but I wanted to, you know, go to school, right? D3's college. Like,
enjoy yourself a little bit.
It wasn't going to do anything for me,
yeah.
right? Like, I you know, whatever. I wasn't good enough to make D1. There are D1 guys that aren't good enough to make the minors, let alone independent leagues like you know, the River Sharks, RIP. And then you go, there's guys that are in single A that never make it to double A never make it to AAA, never make it to the big leagues. And then there's Mike Trout, who it's hard to have a sustained career, like you just said, because of the injury stuff. But dude, think about how bad you are at sports.
Oh, awful.
Like, think about it, because you're not even close.
I'm dreadfully bad at sports.
Not even close. And so we sit here, and I go, oh, my God, they're going to try and trade for Christian Pache, who hit under 200. He plays in my Sunday league. He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's batting 1,000, literally.
It's just, it is crazy.
It's crazy, the difference. It really is.
It is crazy, the difference. And it is crazy to think about. Like, yeah, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough to sustain that kind of career. So 610-632-0975 is the number to climb in. We have the Phillies and we have the Eagles. I gotta honestly ask you, like, what's the deal with the bitching and moaning about Nick Sirianni wearing a t-shirt that has Jalen Hurts' face on it? Like, who cares? Like, why are you complaining about it? Phillies, you just heard the poll. People are already out on this team after just winning a series against the Braves. But if they don't make a move at the deadline, and we'll replay the Jason Stark cuts coming up as well, because I heard it for the first time this morning on the air. And I didn't like it. I want to react to what Jason Stark had to say Reliever is a guy, is an area that they're going to try to attack, but that's about it. Center field, don't get too excited. We have a lot more in store for you as well. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz, who will be back August 1st, hopefully millions of dollars richer. Right here, 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 2 o'clock, of course. It is the midday show. Anthony will be back on Monday. What's up, Devon? Devon Givens already here, getting ready for his show today at 2 o'clock. He's been doing a tremendous job, him and Tyler, filling in for, well, I guess I say they've been filling in for the best show ever, even though they haven't started yet. So are they technically filling in, or just filling in for Tyrone, because Tyrone has been on the show, and Jen?
I think it's they're technically filling in for the interim show. That's what I think.
Okay. Which is called the afternoon show.
Correct.
And I've heard Devon calling it the afternoon show.
Correct.
So
they're filling in for the afternoon.
So they're filling in for Tyrone and Jen, pretty much, not Ricky and Hunter, because they haven't started yet.
Correct.
So, all right, just want to make that clear. Yeah, 11 o'clock hour. So. Look, we have to come down. We have to get answers for everything on this show. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Gold Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I have a question about Eagles content coming up in a little bit, but we're going to get to the phones first. But I want to read a couple stuff from our YouTube chat. I love our YouTube audience. Thank you all, as always, for listening and for really being a part of the show, even though sometimes you guys are debating yourselves that about stuff that's not even on the show. And that's cool. Like, I love it. I love that there's a little YouTube community. But one guy checks in. Gabe Callahan, this was in response to the Nick Sirianni t-shirt. He said, Gabe Kapler took selfies in a banana hammock with his body slathered in coconut oil.
Love it. Love it.
But if he was a good manager here, I wouldn't have cared one bit. He's right. I don't care what Sirianni wears, what t-shirt he wears. If he's a good coach, and we'll find out. Like, this is year one, right? Like I hated Gabe Kapler from the jump, right? I thought he overmanaged every single game. And look, they're now they came back down to earth, right? They're not winning 155 games this year. So Nick Sirianni, I saw things that I liked last year, and you know, I think he's a good coach. But like, I don't know yet. Jury's still out, but I don't give a damn what t-shirt he's wearing. But people complain about it.
Yeah, I literally couldn't care less.
People care. They, for some reason, oh my God, he's getting too close to Hurts. It's going to be hard for him to part ways with him. No, it's not. Hey, it's a business. You know, thanks. It's not that hard. I don't get it.
Plus, he's not really the one parting ways with Hurts. It would be Howie Roseman parting. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like he has to make the trade.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni.
I mean, I really don't get it. I mean, there's just things that we care too much about. Something yesterday. There was a reporter that everybody knows in this city who was asking Rob Thompson, hey, what position do you want the Phillies to trade for? And Rob Thompson refused to answer the question because he said, if I were to give you a position, I'm basically, you know, diming this guy out. Like if he says,
throwing him under the bus.
Oh man, we need a better shortstop. I won't tell you why. But we need to improve shortstop badly. What do you think?
Bryson Stott, when he goes back there, or Didi Gregorius.
Didi's going to walk in the locker room and go, hey, Rob, like, why'd you say that?
Yes.
Like,
that's not cool, man.
Oh, my God. Then, center field. This carousel that we have. Thanks a lot, Dave. Can you make this better? Now you have three guys that are complaining.
And imagine if they don't make a trade for those positions. And yeah. Like, oh, all right.
Well, hey, Didi, I didn't mean it like that, Didi. I didn't mean it like that. And so, but then this reporter was upset that Rob didn't give an answer. It's like, well, what do you expect, dude? Like, he's not going to tell you that. Oh, my God. Castellanos has been awful this year. Can we get a better right fielder, please? Like, he's not going to say that.
That always annoys me to an extent when reporters, and I get they're doing their job, when they ask coaches about, like, improvements on the roster. Like, free agency, trade, should you do this for this guy, that? And he's like, man, I can't throw these guys under the bus.
No.
Like, it's not a good look for me. And I never understand that.
I guess you could say, hey, I wonder if it's different in other sports. Because baseball's 9 guys, right? It's not, like, you could say, probably the best chalk answer is, listen, I love who we have now. If we could add an arm in the bullpen, because there's multiple guys in the bullpen, right? But like, if you say shortstop, like, Okay, Didi Gregorius knows that you're not happy with him. And it's plain and simple. So yes. I don't understand why you would get upset when he answers a question that way, when that's literally the only answer you can really give. Another one on YouTube, Bob Saget, RIP. I want to hear from you, Bob, if you can follow. You know, I know that's not your real name, but if you can follow up on our YouTube chat. I'm calling you out directly to respond. So we had the conversation about the lottery. And, you know, you went down.
Real quick.
Pat Egan and Jamie Lynch were both still out there. And I said, did you guys do the $2 thing? Nah, I'm not doing that. And I go, all right, what's going to suck when you come back into work if we win? And they were both kind of like, yeah, you're right.
Immediately.
Because yes. I asked him, I was like, what would you do? Honestly, like, be honest with me. What would you do if they win? If we win? It's like, are you going to come back to work? And they were both like, no, I don't think I could step foot back in here again. And I was like, yeah. So they both went down quickly and gave Greg $2
each.
Helping
people out.
Oh, yeah, because God forbid, you know, that you actually aren't the one that puts in money and we win.
And you know there's going to be people that don't.
Yes. So Bob says that happened to his best friend. Now, it wasn't I don't know if it was a Mega Millions. He said they didn't win big, but each person got $20,000. It's nice to have that $20,000.
I will take that anytime,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly, please.
But not like multi-million dollars.
Yeah. I want to know, like, how's your friend? Now, $20,000 is not totally life-changing. Right, like you're still gonna have to work. You're,
sure,
you know all that kind of stuff. It's nice that you can buy a new car, you can fix you stuff up around
off.
The house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, would that cover my student loans yet? I don't even know if that would cover it. If I'm being honest with you, but I'd take a nice chunk out of it.
Yeah,
I would do that right away. But how's your friend? Because that would I would not come into work for at least a week. I would take a week off.
Yeah.
I would lose money.
Yeah.
Now, even though it was only $20,000.
Would you call out or would you just not show up?
I'd text my boss. Like, if the boss was in the pool, I'd be like, yo, dude, I hope you understand. Like, I need some time.
I need some me time.
Like, I'll be back. Trust me. Because I need to work. I didn't win $20,000. I'll be back next week, though. And I would hope that my boss would respect that. So I want to hear from you, please, if you can. 610-632-0975. If you want to discuss that. This Eagles content thing. So you've mentioned Bob Wankel a few times. I love Bob. Does a great job for Crossing Broad. Does a lot of Philly stuff for Crossing Broad. He put out a tweet last night that I love. I read it at my house yesterday. And I'm trying to find it. I think it was Bob. Maybe it wasn't Bob. Maybe I'm just giving Bob credit for nobody. Maybe it wasn't Bob. Hey, good for you, Bob. Somebody put out a tweet yesterday that I'm trying to find.
You didn't like it?
No, I did like it. No, maybe I didn't. Okay, maybe I've been lying this whole time. Somebody put out a tweet yesterday basically talking about how we are starved for Eagles content. Like, love it, right? All it takes is one of the beat reporters to, here's Jalen Hurts walking on the field, right? Like that video that we've seen a billion times of the player exiting the doors out of the NovaCare facility to the practice field. And that tweet gets thousands of likes, thousands of retweets, hundreds of thousands of views. People are probably sending it to their friends. Like, oh, look, he looks good. So I have a question because whoever tweeted it, I don't remember, apparently, was spot on, right? Because we are starved for it. So I want to know how much, and Tom, I'm asking you too, how much Eagles content you consume, and like how much do the Eagles take over your life from? And listen, I know there's Birds fans 365 days a year, right? 24/7. But I mean, really, now, start of training camp until whenever the season ends, hopefully in February, right? And then, of course, there's, you know, new league year starts where, you know, you're legally tampering, whatever that means, you're making trades. There's we've talked about this not too long ago, how the football NFL hot stove is basically surpassing the MLB hot stove, and it's very exciting. So football has become a 12-month-a-year sport because of all the stuff in the offseason, because quarterbacks are, we had this conversation, quarterbacks are changing constantly. They're not riding and dying with their team for their entire career anymore. But How much content do you take in? What is it? Like, is it, are you reading articles? Like, I try to do everything, right? I read for the story, read for the show. Obviously, I listen to the press conferences for the show. I watch all the highlights. I look at all the videos. But I'm sure there were people that were on Twitter all day yesterday, just refreshing for more and more. How much NFL and specifically Eagles content do you think you take in now through, let's say, January?
Infinity.
Yeah,
as much as you can. It's funny, man, because I love baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport. It was my favorite sport growing up. The Phillies, like, it should be my number one, right? But I always go back. Always. I'm like, yeah, Phillies baseball is my favorite sport. But the Eagles are always number one.
Of course.
Always number one. And I think that's just how it's the stranglehold that this team has on this city and just people, you know, fans in general, whether you're from the city or not. It's just, it's crazy the juggernaut that the Philadelphia Eagles are and that the NFL is, to be
honest.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy.
So anytime they can give me content, especially when I'm starved for content, when we haven't had football in, what, 5 months?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I will take as much as you will give me. Now, like I say, I always take it with a grain of salt. There's some things that I look into a little bit more than others, but if it's NFL content and if it's Eagles content, I'm always taking it in.
Yeah, like I'm not going, oh yeah, let me watch all the videos of the players and walking onto the practice field. Like I don't really care about that because it does nothing for my daily life.
With you though, when they put up the video of them all getting out of their cars, I got a little excited.
Oh, they're out of the cars. Yeah, I do.
Because I'm like, all right, it's time. They're back.
I like that, and you know, I miss, even though I never went to Lehigh, I miss those Comcast Sportsnet showing the guy walking in with a brand new TV. And all, yes. I always liked that, the moving day thing. Like, that always kind of, you know, got me giddy. But I, you know, when they're walking out with the helmet and they're like, you know, it's just like a nice thing. But it, like, that doesn't like
people
fire
love
me
it,
up.
Though. People love
well,
it.
Well, I know people do. And that whoever put out that tweet yesterday was spot on. Like, you put out that video and you got 1,000 likes, 1,000 retweets.
It's just the feel of football being close, football being back. It's the feel of having an entire Sunday to go tailgate, to go hang out, to watch the game, to hang with your friends, to go to the bar, to go to the stadium, whatever it may be. It's the feel of the NFL and Eagles football being back and just that it's so close. People get excited about
it. It is really close. And Saeed checks in on YouTube. Football is number one because we get September to January to enjoy it. We are starved for football the rest of the year. Anything content-wise is a blessing prior to the start of the season. And boy, I don't know if it's a blessing. They pump it out, man.
I mean, dude,
like it's not like you're starving every day. I know people look for it every single day, but it's there. Like, people, you know you'll get it.
People not in this industry watch four quarters of the fourth, third preseason game, whatever the last one is.
Just to watch football.
Just to watch football. Like, they'll be watching my dad, I don't even do that for all four quarters of the last preseason game of the year. People that have no, you know, no business in sports or anything, no work in sports, people do that.
Well, now you've, you know, couple that with sports gambling. It's,
oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
my God. I mean, you're watching 1 o'clock till midnight or whenever Sunday night football comes to an end. I mean, we already do that, right? And now there's extra to it. It's become a lifestyle. It's become a party. Let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975, Dave in Center City. Hello, Dave.
What's up, guys?
How are you?
It's funny you mentioned 20K. I have a little bit north of that on the Eagles if they go over the 8.5.
You're going to win that.
Yeah, well, actually, it's up to 9 now. I got locked in at 8.5. Before I get to the Phillies, Drew.
Yes, Mr. Money.
Yeah, I wish. I care about the Eagles. I care about what goes on in our backyard. I'm 100% committed to that. I do not care that Julio Jones is now with Tom Brady. Am I correct in that assumption?
I mean, I don't think Julio Jones is the same Julio Jones 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in any other ball club.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and
I do. I love paying attention to all of it. I know that there are Eagle fans, and it's like NFL is only the Eagles.
Yes.
So that's you're like that, where you don't even pay attention to the other teams unless you're playing them.
No, and, you know, it's a shame because we got Pearl Harbor a little bit by Tampa Bay in the playoffs. You know, two or three of their run stoppers that were hurt just magically appear, and we can't run the football.
Yeah.
But I was not on top of that. let's get Tommy, let's get the baseball. I have renewed interest in the entire NL playoff picture. Mm-hmm. Okay. It appears the Dodgers, Mets, and Braves are in the driver's seat. But listen, Padres, Cards, Brewers, Giants continue to spin their wheels, which bodes quite nicely for the Phillies. Maybe a number two wild card spot.
Yeah, Padres lost again yesterday.
Yeah.
Like that's not out of the question. I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now. That Phils one's
are,
still there.
Phils are three games out of the second wild card spot.
So I don't know why people are like, same old team.
And like Tommy said, with the easy schedule, what do we got? 64 games left. Can you imagine if they go 40 and 20?
Yeah, I mean that's going to be tough, but they could. I mean, I got it right here, and thanks for the call, Dave. We got Pirates for 4, Braves for 2, Nationals for 4, Marlins for 3. Then you get the Mets, which is going to be very tough. They just
Marlins are going to sell everybody apparently if they're not named Sandy Alcantara.
Right? Yeah. So they're all going to be.
And they don't have Jazz Chisholm for the rest of the season.
Phillies will lose that series. Reds for 3, Mets again for 4. Reds for 4, Pirates
signed.
For 3, Diamondbacks for 3, the greatest manager of all time, Gabe Kapler, they're on a 7-game losing streak, Giants for 3, Marlins for 3, Nationals for 3, Marlins
That's
for 3.
Insane.
Like, think of, like, and then you close out the year 3 with Houston, which can be difficult, but the 7 games prior to that, even though you just got swept by them, the Cubs for 3 and the Nationals for 4.
I'm curious if... Like, I think Rob Thompson and the streak that they went on brought people back on the Phillies train.
Yes.
And it took a little while.
It did.
I'm curious if that Cubs sweep knocked people off for, like, not the entire season maybe necessarily, but like, okay, I'm not getting back on for another month now. Like, really, this is the same. Like, it's going to take
man.
A long time for them to, for the Phillies to win their trust back.
Yeah, like, they just took 2-3 against the Braves and nothing. It's crickets.
Doesn't matter. I think they won them back. Rob Thompson won those fans back. That 3-game sweep to the Cubs lost them for the foreseeable future. TBD.
I think you're spot on.
Same old Phillies.
And that sucks. I mean, we ran that poll. That's exactly what people were saying. I think it's crazy. So the Nationals, the Phillies play them 11 more times. So Dave just said 40 wins. What, 9-2 against the Nationals the rest of the way?
Especially without Soto, potentially.
That's a fourth.
And Josh Bell.
You're basically a fourth of the way there, man.
9-2 is extreme. I'll go 7-4, 8-3.
No, dude. 7-4 against the Nationals is not good enough. I'll go 8-3, worse.
8-3, I'll go.
Okay. You have 7 games against the Pirates. That's 5-2.
Should be, yes.
All right, so that's 13 wins. The Marlins, you have 9 against.
I'll go 5-4.
I'll go 6-3.
You're excited over there.
So where am I at? I already forget the math.
13 was it last time?
Yeah, 19? So 19 wins. 7 against the Reds, you should win.
5.
6. It's 23.
All right, sounds good. Man, I didn't know we were talking about the Yankees or Dodgers here.
You sweep the Cubs back after they swept you. You go to their hometown, so that's another 3. Hey, they could get the 41. They're not going to get
You are very excited.
Man, they shouldn't lose to these teams. Now, then again, we played those cuts earlier from Jason Stark and the Phillies' lack of aggression that is this upcoming trade deadline. I'm going to start the 12 o'clock hour with those cuts.
Got a couple more for you, by the way. Too.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got more Jason Stark cuts that are going to make me thrilled.
Thank you, Matt Menark.
If you missed them, thank you specifically, Matt Menark. If you missed them earlier today, I'm going to play those 3 cuts that Tom warned me about before I even played them on the air. And I'll rip into the organization a little bit. And it scares me. And so I want to hear your thoughts on it as well at 610-632-0975. Also, starting next segment, your chance to win FanFest tickets. And it's based off of this Nick Sirianni thing. I will explain more on the other side, but it's about the times that we have over-complained about things in the past. And I'll explain more. I'll give you an example on the other side. But think about the time in Philadelphia sports, where either you personally or somebody that you know of, or a group of fans, like the people that complain about the Sirianni t-shirt, the times in the past, now that we look back at it, right, and we go, Yeah, we complain way too much about that. Think about that time, and a good answer will score you FanFest tickets. By the way, John Kincaid has checked it. He says BS on the Dave from Center City bet. The Eagles were never at 8.5.
Getting called out.
Listen, John might be right.
Before
Mr. 20K on
before the draft, potentially, before they get A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown, that trade happens. I could see him being an 8.5. So he probably made it a long time ago.
Maybe. You might be right. And Bob on our YouTube chat, who I was talking about earlier, his friend didn't put the money in for the, lottery. They were fresh out of college, so they were living paycheck to paycheck. So that 20K would have been helpful.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he had a couple loans, too.
And he said taking a week off wasn't an option. Oh, man. That sucks. That sucks.
I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I hope so, too. If you want to climb in, 610-632-0975. 12 o'clock hour coming up next. I'm Andrew Salchunas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for the Cuz. In a couple of minutes, we're going to play some audio from Jason Stark. Tom texted me this morning. I have audio for you that you're not going to like. And you were right. I did not like it. And you also told me that there's more. So, more audio that I'm guessing I'm not going to like. I'm guessing this isn't going to make me feel any better. Is that correct, Tom?
This one. Maybe a little bit better.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. Well, all right.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Crying out loud. But I want to do something for the rest of the show for your chance to win some FanFest tickets. Of course, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Saturday, October 1st from 1 to 5 to Xfinity Live. Got to be 21 to enter. Of course, stay tuned to The Fanatic for all updates on special guest events and a lot more fun for that day. I also heard a commercial this morning about FanFest that it's also going to be presented by my great friends at CSL Plasma. So love Renee for doing that. It's really cool. CSL Plasma, they were the people that they sponsored Knockout, so we had Knockout because of them. So I'm excited that they'll be a part of FanFest, so make sure you check them out. But one of the things I want to do for your chance to win FanFest tickets is to go back in time. Just take a minute, sit down, close your eyes, and make yourself remember a time where you probably bitched a little too much. Or, you know, the fan base collectively complained a little bit too much. I'll say it nicer this time. Complained. Because there's way too many people complaining about Nick Sirianni and the t-shirts. And I know it's less this year. But, dude, last year it was a mess. It was the Brandon Graham t-shirt. It was complaining about the Beat Dallas t-shirt. Oh, he's giving Dallas bulletin board material. Stop. Dallas was just better than the Eagles last year, which is why they won both games. Like, it's just that simple. It had nothing to do with the t-shirt that Nick Sirianni was wearing. So I want to think of a time where when you look back at it now, you go, all right, we complained or I complained or collectively as a fan base complained way too much about it. And the example that I'm going to give you, and it's so funny, West Virginia Rick texted me his answer. And it's my example. It's the one that I texted you this morning, Tom. My example is, now looking back at it, even though I never did, but looking back at it, we as a fan base complained way too much about Ryan Howard and his strikeouts. Way too much. Ryan Howard is arguably the best power hitter in Philly's franchise history. Now, he doesn't have the most home runs. Obviously, Mike Schmidt has that. He had over 500 home runs. But that stretch of his career, his prime, before he got hurt, unfortunately, right? The dude was one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the best power hitters in baseball. Led the league in home runs twice, hit over 40 home runs in a season four times, led the league in ribbies three times, and yes, led the league in strikeouts
Can you guess how many times in his 13-year career?
Six.
Twice. So he only led the league in strikeouts twice in his entire career. Can you guess how many times he struck out 200 times in his career?
Six.
In a season?
Six.
None.
Really?
Never struck out 200 times. Got to 199 twice. So close. But let's just use, I don't know, Joey Gallo as an example, who struck out 213 times last year, has 103 already, and is batting 161. Oh, by the way, his best batting average of his career was in 2019 when he hit 253. Other than that, he has never hit north of 210, okay, in a season.
Was 2019 the shortened season, too?
No, he played 70 games, so there was the next year.
Gotcha.
Where he hit 181 and struck out 79 times in 57 games. Okay?
Not good.
That's Joey Gallo, all right? Ryan Howard, we complain about his strikeouts. Yeah, did he strike out quite a bit? Of course he did. He was a power hitter. That's what happens. Power hitters strike out a lot. He also hit, you know, 313 one year in 2016 when he won MVP. You know, like
those MVP numbers from 2016 are ridiculous, like cyborg-esque numbers.
And think about this. So he gets hurt, right? It's a shame. 2011 was his last like legit season. He had a bad injury. It sucked. 2011, he hit 253 with 33 home runs and 116 ribbies.
It's pretty good.
If he doesn't get hurt, who knows what numbers he keeps on putting up? But we complain, or at least complain, about the amount of times he struck out. Also, he never hits it the other way. Actually, did he hit a lot of home runs to left field? He didn't want to bunt down the third baseline. Can't blame him. So think of a time where we probably over-complained a little bit in the time it was happening. And I'm hoping 10 years from now, Nick Sirianni is still the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and we can go, oh my God, I can't believe we actually complain about his press conference and we complain about the t-shirts that he wore. And I'll get your example in a second. But Rich Safran checks in. Andy Reid not running the football. Now, was it egregious at times? It was. But I'll just say Andy Reid, period. Andy Reid is the best head coach in Eagles franchise history. He's a Hall of Fame head coach. Has only coach in NFL history to go to three straight conference championship games in both conferences. Like, that's never happened before. Andy Reid, in general, we complained way too much about. And looking back at it, I hope you realize that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it all the time growing up. The clock management, the challenging, the timeouts, all that stuff.
Yes.
Andy Reid. He's the greatest coach in Eagles history.
And Brian asks, are we talking about complaining with a solid reason? I mean, I guess.
All these, I mean.
Like, I get Ryan Howard did strike out a lot, but you look back at it, it actually wasn't as bad as what I think. Like, people probably think, when I asked that question, how many times did he strike out 200 times in his career? You said six.
Yeah.
He never did.
Yeah,
ever. Ever. And it's not like he's, you know, like, I like Kyle Schwarber hitting 31 home runs. He's batting, what, 205? Like, something like that?
Yeah.
Ryan Howard, his worst batting average pre-injury in a season was that 253 average that I just, oh no, sorry, 251 in 2008, the year they won the World Series, where he also had 48 home runs and 146 RBIs. Like, think about that for a second. Kyle Schwarber got his 60th.
Ridiculous.
Kyle Schwarber's 31 home runs. He got his 60th RBI yesterday. And I like Kyle Schwarber. He's a power hitter, right? Like, I appreciate having him on this team. But think about how much we bitched and moaned about Ryan Howard because he struck out too many times. He did have 199 strikeouts that year, but he hit 48 home runs, 146 ribbies. That's ridiculous.
Absurd.
Crazy. And yet we complained about
him. Yes, we did.
He also played 162 games that year. He played every game in the regular season and the playoffs.
All at first base. No DH, obviously, in that time.
No, and yet, you know, we complained a lot. So think about a time where we probably, now that you look back at it, you go, yeah, we complained too much. Do you have an example, Tom?
Yes, I do. I have a couple, actually. The most recent one, I guess, was Bryce Harper only hitting solo home runs last year. I feel like I took a ton of calls about this dude only hits solo homers. He can't hit him with anyone on base. And then he goes and wins MVP.
So, yeah, it wasn't his fault.
No.
Like, it wasn't his fault. I remember Jamie
pulled up some stat, and it was like the opportunities, or like guys on like in runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And he was like 250th in the league with like a like opportunities.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we complain about that
so
a lot.
So bad.
Too.
He was bad earlier in the season, in the first month of the season last year when it came to runners in scoring position. After that, he like averaged out and became Bryce Harper. Another one also is Zach Ertz. I feel like when it came with, he always goes down right after he catches the ball. Like, you know what I mean? There's
oh, the no yak Zach?
There's no yak Zach, yes. Which may be accurate, relatively, but like, come on, dude. He was
there
like,
were some egregious ones.
Seasons.
There were some egregious ones where he literally like fell down. You're like, dude, there's nobody near you.
Correct.
What are you doing? I get it, you're trying to conserve your body, but like, dude, like you could have gained another 12 yards.
Correct.
And you got four on
they
the
were
play.
Frustrating, but I feel like every time he caught the ball, I would hear that or see.
Yeah,
tweet
no,
or
you're
something.
You're right. And like, look, to the Bryant brothers tweet, that's probably one that was that's a reasonable complaint. Like, yo, dude, you turn up field. You got another 10 yards.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? A couple on Twitter. Not Twitter. Sorry, YouTube. Jeff McPeak. Ruben Amaro Jr. getting roasted for trading away a bunch of prospects who never amounted to anything. And he's right. I mean, there were tears over Kyle Drabek. Right? Tears. There are tears over Lou Marson, who got traded to the Guardians now, Indians at the time, for Cliff Lee. Carlos Carrasco wasn't even the biggest name in that trade. He's the only one that panned out to be anything.
The only one, yes.
Like, think about that. And people, I still remember, oh man, my friend Ben. Ben and I went to a lot of Phillies games when we were younger together. And I remember him texting me, Joe Blanton? They traded Josh Altman. Like, okay. And Josh Altman played like 5 seconds in the major leagues. Like, you know, that's why my entire life proven verse on that.
Feels similar to what's going on right now.
Yeah. But he's right. I mean, that's a lot of people complaining about the trades that were made. So if you have any other great answers, love to see them on Twitter and on YouTube. And, of course, on the phones, we'll give away FanFest tickets for some good answers at 610-632-0975. But before I get to the phones, Austin and Brian, I see you guys. I promise I'll get to you at the end of the but before the segment ends. The Jason Stark audio. So if you could, I know you said you had some new cuts for me as well.
Just one new cut.
Okay. Yeah. Can we start with what we did earlier? Cut number one was about the relievers. And this was the one out of the three that I was totally okay with. But here's Jason Stark talking about the Phillies and their interest in the relief market.
Bullpen. Again, if they were going to draw it up, it would be a true closer at an affordable cost. And you get so many relievers out there. It's conceivable. Somebody falls through the cracks and they get that guy they need. I mean, there are dozens of relievers on the market. There will be affordable options. I think Dave will wait on that because the last day, you're going to see some panic, I think.
Okay, so he thinks there's going to be some panic and a lot of guys are going to be making moves and maybe sometimes some teams will probably pay a little too much. The name I mentioned earlier is a name that I heard a long time ago that the Phillies could be interested in is Gregory Soto. He's basically a better Jose Alvarado. Not as wild, but still, you know, it's dicey. 2.243 ERA this year for the closer of the Tigers, so you'll take that. His whip is a 1.17, so, you know, he walks some batters, and, you know, or you're going to have to deal with that. But, you know, 36 strikeouts to 15 walks right now as the closer of the Tigers. And he's a guy that you could bring in. Maybe he's not your everyday closer, but a guy that's going to benefit you in the long run. Okay, so that's cut number one. Cut number two, the starting pitcher market. Please, let me hear it.
Rotation, especially in the wake of Zach Eflin. They're looking for a number three, number four type starter, someone who can start a playoff game, someone ideally who could start game three of a best of three. So, I mean, it won't be Luis Castillo because he's the top of this market, but then after him, Tyler Malley, Noah Syndergaard, Chad Kuhl, someone like that. Be really surprised if they don't come away with someone who fits that description.
So, a number three in the rotation, two I respond with, well, Noah Syndergaard, not even on the three on this team. He's not. I still go Gibson over him. And if Suarez figures, you know, he's starting to look better, I didn't think he'd be as good as he was last year, but, you know, he struggled out of the gate. And I think a lot of it, remember, he had to He had the visa issues, so he was late to spring training this year. So maybe that had something to do with it.
Also,
he got hurt.
Last year, like, you changed him from a bullpen relief guy into a starter mid-season. Like,
right.
That's probably going to take a little bit of toll on your shoulder.
Yeah, it probably would. No, you're right. You're right. And so he's pitching a lot better his last couple of outings. So Syndergaard, even the three on this team, I don't know. Malley, I'm interested in, and that would be a nice move, I think, for the Phillies to acquire at the deadline. But, you know, you heard him right away. He said Castillo's going to be top of the market. They're not going to try to get him. Okay. They don't want to be aggressive with the starting pitcher because they already have Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. You just need a number three or a number four in the rotation. That's fine by me. This is the one that pisses me off the most. The center field. And just listen closely to the names he mentions, okay? And there's a name he mentions that I've been wanting that they're not going to get. He even says his name, Brian Reynolds, I'll tell you right now. But here are the names as the potential center fielders that the Phillies might be in on.
Third aisle is one that we haven't talked about much, but that's center field. What I'm hearing is this would be a glove-type center fielder as opposed to a thumper. And this could be one of a number of players. Michael A. Taylor, Victor Robles, Jose Siri, Christian Pache, Jake Marisnick. I'm throwing out names. It won't be Brian Reynolds, but somebody who can catch the ball in center field.
So not even somebody that hits the ball hard or is a good offensive player. That Jose Siri, by the way, is on the Houston Astros. Hitting a whopping 178 this year with three home runs. So I hear that cut from Jason Stark, and I go, wait a minute. Jose Siri hitting below 200. Christian Pache hitting below 200. Victor Robles and Michael A. Taylor, both a little over 200. No pop whatsoever. Three of those are right-handed bats. Jose Siri is also a right-handed bat. One of them is left-handed. So, like, you're not actually getting better. If anything, you're getting worse. Like, he wants to shore up the outfielder itself, like the glove in the outfield. Okay, well, you once again have an automatic out. Jose Siri's batting 178 this year.
Listen, I can't stand Odubel. I don't think he should be on the team. But, like, how much more of an upgrade?
Well, right.
Like, offensively, it's not an upgrade at all.
No.
Any of those guys. Defensively, that's a different story. But like you said, if you're going up there and it's an automatic out every time, batting under 200 with no pop, what is the purpose?
Yeah,
there?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
And most of those guys, not platoon guys, because they all bat righty.
Right. So you might as well keep on playing Veerling. And so, like, what is this lack of aggression? Now, you got in my ear. You told me the final cut is about prospects.
Yes.
It's, you know, and how he said, you know, hell no to Abel and Painter and O'Hoppy. I don't know. Can you play it? I want to hear, like, are the Phillies, like, holding on to these prospects for dear life? Like what is the deal? Can you please play this one?
The issue is clear. If they don't want to give up their best guys, this is challenging. You know, Painter and Abel, they're not just no, they're hell no. Griff McGarry, Logan O'Hoppy, Ben Brown, they've said no on all of them, from what I'm hearing. So I don't know how easy it'll be to get with what they want with their next tier of prospects, because teams aren't fans of that tier. But Dave Dombrowski knows how to make a deal, and I expect him to make multiple deals.
Okay, multiple deals. Now, Jay checks in on Twitter. Any chance they move Castellanos or Didi? Castellanos ain't going anywhere. They're not going to give up. I know everybody hates him. They're not going to give up on him this soon.
No.
And who's going to take on that contract for a guy that's playing like doggy doo-doo, right? Like, no, nobody's going to take that on right now. Didi's a possibility, especially because we had Jim Salisbury on before everything happened, and he said that he believes Stott would be moved to shortstop when Segura comes back.
So, as he should be.
So Didi's on the bench. So maybe they move Didi. A buddy of mine, still married Lenny, he checked in with me before the season started. Before the Philly season even started, it was spring training. Tatis goes down. He says, why wouldn't you try to trade Didi there now? Because Stott was playing well in spring training.
Yep.
Trade Didi there now. Get something out of it. Get a reliever. Get something, because you have no need for Didi Gregorius. Because we all thought Stott was going to be better. And, you know, look, he's hitting better, to your credit. So you trade Didi to a team that's desperate for a shortstop. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
But remember, Joe Girardi was still manager at the time. And Didi's his guy, right?
Yes, he is.
So maybe Jay's right. Yes, maybe they move a guy like Didi Gregorius. Not Castellanos, but a guy like Didi Gregorius. And maybe that could be one of those, you're not trading a prospect away, but you're trading away a guy that can play for a professional baseball team. I don't know, dude. But that really concerns me, where they're giving you names like Christian Pache, who's hitting under 200 as a potential, I don't even know, like the platoon, or like, is he starting? Like, what? God, these names. Oh. Thanks, Tom.
Sorry, dude.
Thanks, Tom. I have a lot of great answers on Twitter about the times we overcomplain as a fan base in the past, but I want to go to the phones first and get some of them. Your chance to win FanFest tickets. Rob Motti has checked in with a great one, and I'll read Rob's coming up. He can come to FanFest. He's not going to win FanFest. He just has to come back up from Florida. But let's go to Austin in media. Austin, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Great discussion today. Andrew, Tom, you guys work really well together.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Like hearing you guys. So the discussion about what do you guys think about the Eagles roster? Probably top four in the NFC right now, 1 through 22. I mean, great offensive line. Secondary's pretty shored up with Bradberry and Slay. D-line's looking solid. Like right now in the NFC, probably top four roster on paper.
Are we going roster or like the Packers? I don't love their roster, but they have Aaron Rodgers, so they could still win 13 games, like just with him.
Sure. That's an excellent point. And that brings me to my point. Like, you look at Kyler Murray and all the money that he's getting in Arizona right now with that, you know, ludicrous contract where he really hasn't won anything, where the Eagles have been able to, you know, build with Hurts, you know, being a second round pick. And that's my point, like, about, you know, I think we complained a little bit too much when Howie said, oh, this is a quarterback factory.
Oh, okay.
And that. When Wentz really, you know, he was, you know, he's not really going to win anything here anymore.
Like, you didn't know that, though. Like, nobody really thought Wentz was good. I mean, look, dude, that final year with Wentz, he, A, played terribly, and B, there was just so many bad stories that came out of NovaCare. But nobody thought that. Like, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, I was angry.
Right, and so with Anthony, but my point is, would you rather be where you are now with the Eagles roster and, like, you know, like going into the season with expectations to, you know, make a run in the playoffs? Or would you rather have, like, you know, the Cobra and, like, you know, garbage roster and, you know, him, like...
Well, yeah, I'd rather not have a garbage roster and a quarterback that nobody likes. Like, I'd rather not have that. You're right. But I still don't know if Hurts is the guy moving forward. You're going to have to replace him maybe at some point.
Well, I'm thinking about drafting Hurts for my fantasy team because I think he
can smart move.
Numbers, running the ball.
Yeah, it's a smart move for fantasy football, but it's fantasy.
Right, but him and Sirianni, like, we talk about Sirianni, like, he's really got to show us something in year two, like, that he can win, like, close games. Like, I don't think, you know, that San Francisco game, I think that was winnable last year.
It was.
And, you know, we can pick and choose.
Jalen Reagor also stepped out of bounds before catching the potential touchdown pass.
Exactly, Andrew. But, like, you know, we gotta look at things like, you know, Hurts is our guy going forward. Like, he's on the t-shirt, like, and, you know, I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, he's their guy moving forward for this year. Also, I'll put you all over the FanFest ticket. He's the guy moving forward this year. Has nothing to do with next year. If they fall short of expectations, you heard Austin's voice, right? Austin's like, this roster's really good. This roster's really good. They fall short of expectations. It's probably going to be because of the quarterback or because Sirianni doesn't know what he's doing. But I don't think that's the case. I think, if anything, it's the quarterback holds you back. All right, I promised I'd get to him. So let's go to Brian in Bala Cynwyd. Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So, as far as, like, complaints, I got a couple football ones. So, we have Jalen Hurts' arm, Howie's bad drafting.
Those complaints were fair for Howie.
Yeah, it is. I agree. So
He's had two good drafts back-to-back, but he was a horrible drafter in the years prior to that.
Yeah, that's why I asked if it's because of, did we have a solid reason to complain? I'm actually the person that tweeted that one. If I switch to baseball, the Phillies farm systems, especially the lack of being able to find like good pitchers or just players who doesn't, who like foreign players, as they say. And
yeah, but these are all fair complaints.
Yeah, so let me listen.
The Phillies haven't developed an outfielder since Pat Burrell, and before that, it was Greg Lozinski.
Yeah, so those are kind of my complaints. I'm not sure about the Donovan McNabb ones. I know sometimes he used to throw like ducks, and I'm not sure why, but that's his.
So Donovan McNabb, and thanks for the call, Brian. I'll put you on hold for your FanFest tickets. That's the answer that'll score you the tickets. The McNabb complaints, looking back at it. Now, look, at the time, I get it. But looking back at it, he's still the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history. So we 100% over-complained about Don McNabb. You can say, you can give an answer about any player and coach during that time, right? Because Andy Reid, too. All right, so I have a lot of great answers on Twitter. I don't know if Brian necessarily understood the assignment, because he was saying times that, like, basically giving answers of what we complain about the most, because all of them are fair. Howie was not a good drafter until last year, and the Phillies still don't have a farm system. They don't. They have a couple of guys.
No.
But, you know, I can't. The McNabb one is the one that scores you the tickets. But if you want to try a win a pair of FanFest tickets, just give me a time where we definitely over-complain about something, and looking back at it now, it wasn't really worth it. Like Ryan Howard and the amount of strikeouts that he had. Honestly, we've definitely over-complained as a collective fan base on that. 610-632-0975. Manager Sal Tunis filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Sal Tunis. 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months. And a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. Tom, I have a question for you. Can you eat like the same thing every day or like very frequently?
Yes. Yeah, I do
so,
it every day. Yeah.
So I was just thinking about it. I made at home chicken salad. I love the ShopRite chicken salad. I get it often. It's also great when I'm trying to do the no carb thing, because there's no carbs in it, right? It's chicken and mayonnaise and then, you know, a couple of things thrown in there.
I hate chicken salad.
That's fine. But like, I just realized, so I brought it to work today. Today's what, Thursday?
Correct.
I had some when I was at home yesterday, and I made it for dinner Tuesday. So I've now had it 3 days in a row. And there's still a little bit left. Like I try to make enough, especially now that Christy's back at work. We're trying to plan things ahead, have lunches and all that kind of stuff. I'll probably eat it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
For a fourth straight day. I have no problem with that. Now, Christy, on the other hand, she gets in these phases, right? Like, she'll love something. She found this salad on, you know, the internet, and she's now made it twice. And for this week, she made a giant, like she like tripled the recipe so that she could bring it to work every day.
Sure.
She'll probably eat it every day this week, probably make it one more time for, again, a full week, and then we'll never want it again because she's like, oh my God, I ate too much.
She gets sick of it.
I've never had that happen to me. I could eat eggs every day. You see me. I typically do bring eggs in every single day.
Yes.
I just didn't today. I needed to give myself a little break. I just went banana peanut butter for breakfast today. But could you do the same thing every day?
Yeah, every single day for breakfast. So I go through like phases of stuff I eat. For like 3 months at a time, I was having like the same cereal every single morning. Now I do like granola bars and stuff like that. I've been trying to do like meal prep to an extent. So yeah. I'm not like driving home passing Wawa, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, McDonald's. And like, oh, I'll just get that instead. Have stuff ready at the house. So yeah, I try to. Now, listen, you get like sick of stuff after a while. Maybe you take a week off or something like that, but then I can hop right back into it. So, yeah, I am one of those people.
Okay, yeah. So you and I are like, when it comes to, I just like, I know that there are people that are like, oh, no, if I eat it once, I can't.
Now, not all food, though. Like, if you do, like, I don't know, a salmon dish, make a ton of salmon.
Having
for the
salmon
week.
Tonight.
There you go. For the entire week, could you have it like the entire week? Is it all foods or is it some foods? To me, it's some foods. I can't have all food every day of the week.
I could probably have all food every day of the week.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
I could. I could eat a hamburger like 7 days in a row.
Wow. You're talking about food that's not good for you. I mean, I could have a cheesesteak every single day for lunch if I wanted to.
And see, I probably couldn't because I'd probably end up hating my life.
Oh, yeah. There's always that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
But, yeah, I could eat even healthy stuff. I could eat literally every day. I don't really care. Like, I just need to be full. That's it. That's all I care about. I need to, it's like Nick Cassianos. I you know, he hits the survive, I eat whatever
I
want.
You don't eat for taste. You eat just so you are full, so you don't die.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still living. I don't know about Nick, though. So one of the things we have going on right now, if you want to win a pair of FanFest tickets, you just got to call 610-632-0975 and give an answer to this question. Because I'm thinking about the Nick Sirianni t-shirt and the amount of complaints that are still going on, not as much this year, but last year, because people didn't like him from the get-go with the press conference, which is so stupid, the people found ways to hate Sirianni. And one of the big things was the t-shirts and, oh, he's too close with his players. Oh, God forbid. He's not Chip Kelly, for crying out loud. God forbid he actually says hello to people in the hallway. But also the Beat Dallas shirt, he's giving other teams bulletin board material. Like, that's just stupid. But I want to ask you, looking back at things, what are some of the times we complained way too much about something? And for me, my example was Ryan Howard and his strikeouts. Because Ryan Howard never struck out 200 times in a season. Ryan Howard only led the league in strikeouts twice. And oh, by the way, Ryan Howard is a power hitter and had over 40 home runs four times in his career, led the league in home runs twice. So just as many times as he led the league in strikeouts, he led the league in home runs. He was a power hitter, one of the best Phillies power hitters in a stretch that we've ever seen, right? So Ryan Howard was my example. Rob Motti checks in. Of course, we remember Rob being here at the station. Gives a great answer. The amount of complaints that Jimmy Rollins got when swinging at the first pitch.
Dude, I was literally going to bring that one up. But I was like, you know what?
So Jimmy Rollins,
I heard it all the time.
When swinging at the first pitch and putting it in play, batted 285 with a 300 on base percentage and a 450 slugging in his career. Somebody actually asked, what about Jeter? To which Rob responded with 333, 360, and 474. So Derek Jeter, pretty good career. Rob and I argued a lot over Gabe Kapler. He and I, like, we went at it multiple times about Gabe Kapler. He liked Gabe Kapler as a manager. I clearly, vehemently hated Gabe Kapler as a manager. I had to respond to Rob and say, oh, by the way, your boy Gabe Kapler, when he was a player, hit 325, 327, 453 on the first pitch. Even though as a manager, it's like, God forbid you swing at the first pitch, you're probably going to be sitting on the bench.
Which is still crazy to me.
Yeah.
When you told me that.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous, because that was his whole MO, was work counts. But some other great answers on Twitter. My man The Fink checks in, and he's right. There were a lot of people at the time. Now, look, it didn't really work out ultimately, but a lot of people at the time complained about the trade-up for Wentz. Because you traded up from 13 to 2, gave up a lot, right? Ultimately, it wasn't that much. It was like Kiko Alonso, Byron Maxwell, right? And a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
For a guy that had an MVP season in 2017. But because it was the North Dakota State thing, you know, why would you draft a guy that isn't even a D1 football player? That was what a lot of people complained about. Colin checks in with one that his dad, my dad not so much. My dad loves him. But his dad and a lot of dads, Mike Schmidt isn't clutch. Mike Schmidt only hit, and you said the Bryce Harper thing. He only hits home runs when there's nobody on base. Mike Schmidt, the narrative back in the day, he only hits home runs when there's nobody on base. He hit 595 home runs in his career. But, you know, he only hits home runs.
It was only solo homers. Yeah, 595.
Well, you would think the way people talk about it, you would think. And you know how we get on Donovan McNabb for still bringing up the getting booed thing at the draft?
Yes.
I remember we had Schmitty on two opening days ago, and he still brings it up.
Yeah.
He still brings up like the, yeah, you know, people didn't necessarily always love me, even though he was, you know, best third baseman in Phillies franchise history and arguably one of the best in league history.
And best player in Phillies franchise history.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Dr. Stone Cold Stunner checks in.
Great name.
Doug Peterson and Charlie Manuel. We all wanted them fired after one season, and he said it worked out okay for both of them. Rob M. checks in with the Sirianni first press conference. But yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Ryan checks in. Are you kidding? Howard's strikeouts in the later years cost us countless games. What later years? When he was not the same player because he had a serious injury?
And when the team wasn't good enough?
Yeah. Like, Ryan, like, what are we talking about? And J.M. Huddock checks in with a great one. Joel Embiid doesn't post up enough.
Huh. Yes. Yes.
Even though he leads the league in post-ups every single year.
And he's the second MVP last year.
Do I believe maybe he should sometimes be down low more? Yeah. Occasionally. Like, mix it up. But he's never on the block. Well, he is. He leads the league every single year. Oh, somebody else just checked in. Grease Monkey just checked in. So two people back-to-back checked in with the Embiid one. Those are some great answers. So if you want to try to win FanFest tickets, give me an answer to that question. The time when we look back and you kind of realize, all right, we probably complained a little bit too much about that. Just call in 610-632-0975. Some other stuff that we have on the table today. And we got more coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But let me just kind of reset the show today. We opened up with the Phillies and their extremely impressive series win against the Braves. Something that I doubted. I heard John Kincaid and Pat Egan both guarantee a series win. I thought they were both on crack. I didn't think that was going to happen. You know, look at who they were playing. Look at the rotation that they went up against. Fried, Strider, and Morton. I didn't think they were going to win that first game of the series, and they did. Strider pitched as good as we thought he would. And then you win game three. So you won that series. You took 2-3 against a team that I didn't think you had any business in beating, especially with it looked like the momentum that they had that carried into the All-Star break. You lost Bryce Harper with injury. You looked like you were starting to feel those effects. You get swept by the Cubs, which is ridiculous. They come back and win a series against the Braves. That's one of the most impressive and also important series victories that the Phillies have had all season. And yet it's still kind of quiet, which I can't believe. But at the same time, I don't blame anyone because the Yankees make a trade for Andrew Benintendi yesterday, which would have filled a position of need. Two, really. He could bat leadoff for you, too.
Yeah,
he's your starting center fielder and your true leadoff hitter. So that's two birds, one stone, or two birds, two prospects. And they didn't do it. And the Yankees, who have the second best record in all of baseball, before last night had the best record in all of baseball before the Dodgers surpassed them, they didn't hesitate. They didn't wait till the trade deadline. They made a move right away. And the Phillies didn't do that. And that pisses me off. And then we play the Jason Stark cuts. Jason Stark thinks the Phillies will be on a reliever. Good. That's awesome. He believes that they are going to be in on a starting pitcher to the point where he said he'd be shocked if they didn't get a starting pitcher. But he gave a bunch of names that are, you know, third or fourth in the rotation, one of them being Noah Syndergaard, who I don't even think cracks the rotation. He will because Zach Eflin's out. But really, you're going to give me Noah Syndergaard? He's not as bad as him? I'm going to say something crazy. This might be hot takey, and I apologize because I swear to never be hot takey. But Noah Syndergaard, trading for him this year is kind of like trading for Jason Vargas a few years ago. Like,
that is
but really,
scorching.
But think about it. Jason Vargas, you acquire him. Was he really going to do anything for you? No.
No.
No. No, with Syndergaard, yeah, he's better than Jason Vargas. Don't get me wrong. But, like, he's a guy with an ERA of over four.
He's down to 3.83 after his last start.
Good for him.
Listen, what I love an improvement over Noah Syndergaard? Yes. Do I want them to get a guy better than Noah Syndergaard? Yes. But I think you're being
The Vargas year was the McPhail. We don't. They're in the luxury tax, and you're going to trade for Noah Syndergaard? He's going to be the answer to your prayers? I hope if they do trade him, I'm wrong. I am somebody that loves when I'm wrong.
I'm looking at his game log for this year. And I was trying to prove you wrong, but it's really not.
Fives. A lot of five earned run nights. A lot
four
of three,
innings,
four.
Three runs, five
not,
innings,
not
three
many
runs.
Quality starts.
Seven innings, three runs, seven innings, five runs, 4.2, one run, six with one run. That's good. 2.1 with five runs. Yeah, there's not a lot of quality starts.
So when people get on me for liking Gibby, well, it's because he typically gives you a quality start when he goes out there. It's not great. Six innings, three earned isn't great. It's a 4.50 ERA. It's not like that's good. But he's out there, gives you a quality start. Syndergaard doesn't necessarily give you that often. Now, Gibby's having an up and down year.
But that's what a number five pitcher is.
Yes.
Number four pitcher is, yeah.
Like, so what? You're bringing in another number four or five.
Hey, it's the name, though. It's the name and the hair. And that's what people get excited about there.
I guess. Andrew. I mean, that just...
And it's like, people will get excited about the name. Because when people think of Noah Syndergaard, they think of, oh, like this young, hot prospect, up-and-coming pitcher for the New York Mets that has all the talent in the world. Yeah. He's just got to put it together. The dude's, what, like 29 years old now at this point?
Well, it's Velasquez.
We're past this point.
It's Velasquez.
He's better than Velasquez, but yes.
Yeah, but no, but that's what, like, you know, you're waiting for, he's never going to put
you're
it
waiting,
together.
You're waiting. You're
like,
waiting.
The waiting's done, okay? Like, there's no more putting it together. Who you see right now out of Noah Syndergaard, maybe the best you'll see, right? Because he's had a worse ERA every single year since leaving the Mets.
So he was really good the first six, seven-ish starts of the season. His ERA was 3.08 after like seven starts.
Yeah, and then the Angels lost like 85 games in a row.
And then he's come crashing down. And like you said, before his past start, he was over four. So will Dombrowski look at that and say, hey, if you come to a team that isn't the Angels, the worst team in baseball after a certain point in the season, can you get back to some of that early season success with this Phillies team? Like I said, I would prefer an upgrade, a guy like Trevor Mallee, who I think has some potential for you. I would love a Frankie Montas or Luis Castillo.
But they're clearly,
would love.
Jason Stark said they're not in on that.
You've been saying like, oh yeah, this team needs a three. Like they already have an ace and then number two. How about another ace? How about another number? Like you can never have enough of those guys. Like no teams
can't.
Like shucks, we're not taking in Luis Castillo because we already have a number one.
Say that
like,
to the Mets.
Make your team.
Say that to the Mets. They go out. They signed Scherzer this year.
Yeah.
They already had DeGrom.
Also, those guys are both under control for next year too, I believe.
And the Phillies don't think that way. So, I mean, honestly, I asked earlier today, do you just not like this team? Is that why there's no excitement after the Phillies take 2 of 3 against the Braves? But then again, I can't blame anybody when the Yankees are going out and getting guys, and the names you hear are Christian Pache, who's hitting below 200. Also, the Eagles, they were back at camp yesterday. I'm glad that everybody was fired up, but they're still making the point about the Sirianni t-shirts, which is why I asked you, give me a time where now that we look back at it, we realize we were a little ridiculous complaining about certain things in Philadelphia sports. I know Vinny in Westchester has an answer. Let's go to Vinny. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you, Janice?
Great, Vinny. How are you?
Good, good. So I don't know if it was like a lot of people complain about, but a good amount did that Ryan Howard wasn't clutch. He hit three run home runs when the Phillies were up, 3-0, three runs already. I used to get in an argument with a family member all the time. Like, take aside the fact that he led baseball in his career in go ahead RBIs.
Yep.
Those 3-run home runs to put them up 6 runs, put your closer back on the bench. And you didn't have to use your closer 3 nights in a row because of Ryan Howard's late inning home runs to put you up, expand your lead.
Yeah. Which, you know, I have somebody in my family, Vinny. Same thing. And he's now saying that about Bryce Harper too. And it's like, well, you just hate talent then. Like you just don't like talented players. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good. You don't have to say not many people because I know somebody that does it. So, Vinny, I'll put you on hold. That scores you a pair of FanFest tickets. So it's that simple. You know, the times we heard or you or somebody complained about something in Philadelphia sports in the past, and now that you kind of sit down and think about it, you're like, all right, that was a bit much.
People said the same about Bobby Abreu too, didn't they? Like the guy was only hit homers when they're up 5-0.
Yeah, and he didn't want to bat in certain areas of the lineup.
Is it just like the best power hitter on an underachieving team? Now, I know Howard, their teams were really good, but towards the end, they weren't as. Is it like your best power hitter, best pure hitter, even to an extent, on underachieving teams or teams that should be better? Is that simply what it is? And we just go to the Abreus, go to the Harpers, go to the Howards?
Well, I just think sometimes we hate talent. Like, I'll be honest, I've said it 1,000 times. Like, I think sometimes we completely overrate the backups and the player that you think you're like Connor Thomas thinks he can beat T.J. McConnell one-on-one in baseball.
Yes, correct.
But we love T.J. McConnell. Why? Because he's like us. He's the little man. You know, he's underdog story. He's put together an incredible career. But people like T.J. McConnell more than Ben Simmons. Now, this is before Ben.
Sure. You know,
but like, I remember having that argument.
People still want to trade Joel Embiid. Like, I've taken calls of that, like, recently, relatively.
People don't be
non-troll calls.
And, you know, God forbid anybody has any talent And if they haven't won 8 championships in whatever league they're in, you know, they stink. And I just, you know, sometimes I don't understand it. I mean, that's why the Foles-Wentz debate was as long as it was. Now Foles won a Super Bowl. So, but, you know, Wentz is an more overly talented quarterback than Nick Foles. But we had that debate until we were blue in the face, man. All right, final hour ahead. You can join in at 610-632-0975. So we got 1 hour left. I have a couple of questions, football-related questions. I also have something on the crock pot that I want to discuss, okay? Because I did the crock pot last night and, of course, saved me a lot of time. And I don't think the crock pot gets enough love, if I'm being honest with you. So we'll discuss that all. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew South, Tunis, filling in for the Cuz right here on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. Anthony returns on Monday, so looking forward to seeing the Cuz again. I want to read a tweet for you that, you know, it's kind of spot on. So the Phillies win their series yesterday to the Braves, and you know, nobody's really talking about it.
No one cares.
Exactly. That's nobody cares. And I go, wow, well, that kind of sucks. But, you know, they just got swept by the Cubs. And that's when we asked the question, you know, are you already out? And a lot of people said, yeah, same old Phillies. Look, I am disappointed that those Jason Stark cuts that we have played, it doesn't seem like the Phillies are going to be all that aggressive before the deadline. And that's disheartening because even though I've been saying it over and over again, well, it's not like I'm saying it with confidence. I just know they are going to say. I'm telling you right now, Tom, doing this long enough, which hasn't been that long, but I've been doing this long enough, that you will hear Dave Dombrowski say at some point during his post-trade deadline press conference, where if they don't get anybody really of note, where he will say, well, Jim, or any of the reporters, you know, we will kind of be getting somebody. When Gene Segura comes back, and when, you know, soon Bryce Harper comes back, that's like we acquired two players. Telling you right now, that will be said.
Probably, yeah.
At some point in his press conference, Dave Dombrowski will use some sort of term where he says Gene Segura and Bryce Harper and Zach Eflin.
If he says Zach Eflin, that's the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
But he will say, you know, that some of the players returning from injury will be like a acquisition at the deadline for them. I'm telling you right now, I've heard enough for every team.
Hey, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but there's no such thing as too many acquisitions. You can have those guys back and add more reinforcements to
Perfect
your baseball
example,
team.
The team that won the World Series last year, the Atlanta Braves, they had 4 outfielders. They acquired too many players. Well, you can't say too many players, but they acquired
bummer. We lost that 11th prospect in the system. How will we survive?
For the World Series. So, look, I don't blame anybody that's, like, kind of down in the organization that hasn't made the playoffs in 11 years. And, you know, Noah Syndergaard is their top trade piece right now that they're going after. Mike Murphy checks in. So I put out a tweet right after the first segment of the show. And I said, I'm back on middays today. Phillies had a series win that I didn't expect. I still think people aren't that excited, though. Why? Do you just not like this team? And the reason why I say do not just like this team is because we went around the diamond earlier today. And I know that somebody took exception to it. But we went around the diamond earlier today and went through the names of the players. JT Realmuto is not a fan favorite anymore, right? Everybody wanted him. Best catcher in baseball, BCIB. The only guy that I remember that was kind of against it was John Kincaid. And other than that, everybody was on board. I was all about trading Sixto Sanchez, right? I still think he's a good catcher. I still think people overrate the rough start. You know what I mean? Like, I think people are, oh my God, he's the worst catcher in baseball now because he dropped the pop up like 3 months ago.
Start Garrett Stubbs over him.
Well, that was a big part of it too. But a lot of people don't like JT Realmuto anymore. But a lot of people also don't like his personality. I joke around, but it's kind of true, actually. It's a fact that he's the worst walk-up song in all of baseball. So, like, nobody likes that. And then the vaccination status for a lot doesn't... It's not for me, but a lot of people are bothered by it, by the vaccination status. My man Jay Greco said that thing is dead. No, it's not. There are still people, not you and I, but there are a lot of people that are bothered by him not being vaccinated. And then there's the comments that he made about the lack of the vaccine where he goes, that's just a little bit of money that I'll be losing, where, come on now, that little bit of money is mine and Tom's salary times probably three, right? Like, it's like, come on, you can't just say that. It's stupid. And then he dug his grave even deeper when he said, well, no, I meant to me, it's not a lot of money. Oh, good for you, JT, Mr. Millions. Like, yeah, awesome. I'm glad it's just a little bit of money to you. Not everybody loves JT Realmuto. Rhys Hoskins is, people like him, I think, as a guy. And forget the player. I'm saying, like, the guy, right? Not many people like Didi Gregorius. Not many people like Nick Castellanos.
Right now.
But because his attitude, right, doesn't seem like he has the best attitude. And when things are going bad and he has a bad attitude about it, like, people don't like that.
Does that bother you at all, his attitude? Like, because it doesn't for me at all. Like, I think that's who Nick
Castellanos. I think body language is a problem.
Body language is.
I get bothered when Embiid shows bad body language.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Definitely.
So,
but, like, the way he is, the kind of snarkiness or cockiness.
Oh, no, I don't care about that.
Like, I don't care that you're... shouldn't be on the diamond right now the way you're playing. If you're just going based off stats, that doesn't bother me that you're kind of have the same cockiness. And
no, remember when he ripped Rob Manfred last year?
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. I thought it was so cool.
We were praising his attitude before the season. So now people are kind of turning on. I figured I was just making sure.
No, body language, I hate it. Like, I get it. You're having a rough day. I get it. You know, we've all had rough days at our places of work, but, like, you know, it seems like it's constant. But not everybody loves a lot of these guys and their personality. And then there's the talent and lack thereof in a lot of areas. I didn't even mention Odubel. Like, you shouldn't like him. You shouldn't like George Familia, right? Like, there's reasons why you should not like them as human beings. And then they stink. Like, they're not good at baseball either. Like,
just to add on.
They're net negative. So I asked the question. Do you just not like this team? Because there are a lot of guys that I don't think are fan favorites. Like, Bryce Harper's a fan favorite. Schwarber's a fan favorite. But you could be like me, where you don't like him in the leadoff spot and hitting 205. Like, you know, acquire a legit leadoff hitter like Andrew Benintendi. Oh, sorry, the Yankees already did that. Get a legit leadoff hitter, and then he can maybe hit a two-run home run, and I'll deal with the batting average. But, you know, but then there's also lack of talent in areas. So Mike Murphy checks in. Basically, he didn't say it has nothing to do with like and dislike. He just said they're trying to get to the playoffs with a staff that features a 1, a 3, 2 fives, and a triple-A starter. Now, Nola's better than a 3. He is. He's a
right now.
He's having a very good year.
Right now, he's better than a 3, yes.
I have always said that I think Aaron Nola is a very good number 3 and an average number 2 in Major League Baseball. And look, he's having a good year, so he's better than an average number 2 right now. 2 fives are both Gibson and Suarez. Fives, you can give them, you know, a little, you know, show them a little bit more love.
I think
than
you can say 2 4 or fives, because any given day they could be a really good 4 yes. for any team, and then you could have days where it's 2 innings and 7 runs.
And then he said triple A star, that's, you know, Bailey Falter or Christopher Sanchez. That's
accurate.
Spot on.
Yeah.
They are playing with 3 average to below average center fielders. I'll say they're all below average.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
we're excited about Vierling just because he's the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
He's not very good, though.
That's the Alex Singleton effect. And then he said, add a starting pitcher, major league outfielder, and maybe a bullpen arm, and this team will be fun down the stretch. But he's basically saying, look, there's not much excitement and buzz because look at this team. even though they won a series I'm sure Mike didn't expect either to win against the Braves, he kind of looks at this team and he sees the flaws. I always mention my man Dan Baxter because he always comes at me when the Phillies lose, right? Again, Phillies win game one. Nobody said a peep. They lose game two, and he said, he tweeted at me, and of course I was off yesterday, but he tweeted at me saying, need another Ace Altunas 975 show, 4 hours long, explaining to me why the Phillies are a different team this year. And it's like,
is that what he said?
Yeah. I was like, what, because they lost the game to the Braves? Like, look, if he sent me that tweet after they got swept by the Cubs, fine. But you sent me that tweet after they lose to the Braves, after they won game one.
With Spencer Strider on the mound.
Yes, who's a stud, but nobody watches baseball That's outside true. Of the Phillies, yeah. So they don't know that he's really good. Just like football. I talk about it all the time. There are just Eagles fans that don't pay attention to the rest of the league, and then they go, oh my God, Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. Like, no, he's not. It happens. We don't have, like, well, this is literally our lives, correct. Right? So we do have to pay attention to it. But, like, how can you send that tweet? And then they win the next game, but the same thing. Nobody says boo. If anything, you should go, wow, good. Like, how about just a good job, Phillies? You know?
Clap.
Way to take 2 of 3. So I don't blame anybody for being down. But, you know, I mean, the Phillies aren't going to help themselves out. If they don't make a move, they're not going to help themselves out at all. It's going to be quiet.
No, yeah, that'll really kind of push people.
Especially now with the, like, this is the thing. The four teams in this city, well, maybe without the Flyers because they don't give a damn, clearly. But the three teams, Phillies, Sixers, and Eagles, and of course the Union, but Phillies, Sixers, and Eagles, because not many people know like the talent outside of the Union, right? They're always competing with one another, right? If like, especially competing against the Eagles, trying to do their best to try to be in, you know, on the radio, their team is mentioned a lot, right? It's about to be football season. If the Phillies want to have any sort of publicity, they want ticket, you know, ticket sales to go up, you got to make a move.
Because the issue is they've already lost fans for the season. And I don't know if it's because of things done this season necessarily, but past seasons.
Yeah.
It's like completely blowing stretches down the down or blowing games down the stretch,
yep.
Whatever it may be. If you don't make a move, you already have that part of the fan base loss. You're going to lose the nerds like me and you to an extent, like the people out there that love.
No, I'll still breathe. Watch,
and I will too. That's but
I'm
like
gonna, I'm going to be like the fever pitch, and I'm gonna
still go. It's a great movie, by the way. But you're going to lose like that next tier of fans that are like kind of in and like the Phillies and want to see them do good down the stretch. But then if you don't make moves, you're gonna be like, all right, why bother?
There's no buzz, right? Yeah, you don't want to win, so then why should I go?
That's I say it all the time about teams. If you don't care, why should I?
And also for FanFest tickets, if you call in at 610-632-0975, the time we definitely over-complained about something, and now looking back at it, you go, wow, we shouldn't have complained that much. Chase Gallo just gave an awesome, awesome answer. Bryce Harper's contract. Oh my God, yep. How can you give that much money?
Yep.
First of all, there are people that thought he was overrated, which is stupid. Like, so dumb. People didn't like that it took as long as it did. And, like, screw Bryce Harper for doing that. Like, well, he signed here. Like, you'd be happy with that. And then people didn't like the $330 million, where his average salary now per year is not even in the top 10 anymore.
It's 20th.
You got to steal.
And it's always going to go down.
Yeah.
Like, because more players are going to get paid more.
For one of the best players in the league, I know he's hurt right now, one of the best players in the league, you have the 20th highest average salary per year. Like Mookie Betts, I think Mookie Betts broke that in like 5 minutes. Like the next year, he signed a $400 million contract.
Yeah, him and Trout did it actually in five, like a week later, Trout did. We talked about earlier.
Chase, that's an awesome, awesome answer. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Eric in Trenton. Eric, you're on the Fanatic.
Good afternoon, boys.
What's up, Eric? How are you?
I'm doing good. I was going to say, between Dutch and Pudge, what about the Lieberthal and Pratt eras where we just ripped on them the entire time? Like, they were the backbones of the team.
I was never really the biggest Lieberthal fan, but I was also a young kid, so, you know, maybe that's what it was. I love Chooch, though, right? Like, I'm a Carlos Ruiz, you know, guy through and through.
Yeah.
Do I think Mike Lieberthal should be on the Phillies Wall of Fame? No, I don't.
No, he shouldn't be up there, but, you know, for the scrub
you know, good length of time, you know, he was the only guy that, you know, the Phillies could name besides, you know, Kirk Schilling.
Right.
Other than that, who can name, you know, Mordini or Stocker, you know? It's time to think of, you know, the teams weren't that great. After
oh, man, yeah, yeah. Desi, months. Yeah, Desi Relaford playing shortstop. Oh, man, it's Scott Rowland. That's a little bit of talent there. Robert Person was your opening day starter, pitching to Mike Lieberthal.
I was like in right field. Yeah, I understand. But I always thought that a lot of people gave Lieberthal grief, you know, but he was a consistent, you know, 250, 260 hitter.
Yeah, he was all right. I mean, you love Mike Lieberthal. This might be Mike Lieberthal on the phone right now, for all I know.
Could be, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we do that. We sometimes dislike the best players on our team, and I never understood. And Eric, I appreciate the call. I mean, Lieberthal, I don't want to, you know, go too overboard.
I could see the fume going out of your ears when you mentioned Lieberthal.
He had a great season in 99. He batted 300 and had 31 home runs and 96 RBIs.
Wow.
That's really good.
That is really good.
That's a really good season. In 2003, he hit 313. Pretty good. Only 13 home runs, but that's fine.
You're hitting 313 as a catcher.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's good.
I mean, look, he
had a good career. It's just,
he's Mike Lieberthal.
You know. And he's probably right. Those teams sucked back in the day.
Yes.
And he also came after Dutch. It's a big part of it.
True.
That's a tough thing, right, to replace a absolute fan favorite when you're supposed to be the guy, right? Like you're now the full-time catcher after Darren Dahlin. That's got to be tough, right? We see it in all walks of life, not just sports, when you're following a great, right? And you're going to automatically be criticized even more. I remember Darren Dalton's such a fan favorite. When JT Realmuto, before everybody hated him, picked the number 10, people were upset about it. They were saying nobody should ever wear the number 10 behind home plate ever again. And there were a lot of people there were upset with it. So that's probably why Lieberthal got a little extra hate. He had some good years, and then he had some down years. He was on and off, you know. He was all right.
You hate him, dude.
I'm a chooch, man. I'm always about Carlos Ruiz. Let's go to Glenn in Wallingford. What's up, Glenn?
Yo, what's happening, Andrew?
So are you in or out? Because I know you were going to go Summer of Glenn, and then you were back in like a week later. And where are we now?
And then they do what they did last weekend.
Yep.
And then they take two out of it. I'm like a yo-yo. Listen, at least it wasn't like the season started, right? When the season started, it was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Can we even watch baseball? So at least I can watch, right? But it's just, I just can't gain momentum. I mean, because like I said, they lose, they swept by the stinky Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pitiful.
So I said this on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? When did they play the Braves the first game? Tuesday night? I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Monday. Night.
Monday, sorry. Yeah, so Monday. Tuesday, I was in still. Yeah, I was off yesterday. And I said that this team is not good enough for any games to be a lock, a.k.a. the Cubs series, right? You get swept by the Cubs. But they're not bad enough of a team for you to count them out. And look, when everybody counted them out after getting swept by the Cubs, me included, they come away and beat Max Fried, right? So this team, it's what you're feeling right now. That's who this team is, and you're going to have to deal with it the rest of the season. And hopefully, they finally break the playoff drought, and it's all for the great.
And that's the beautiful thing with the expanded wild card, right? At least
yes.
They still have an opportunity because, and you touched on it a couple minutes ago. If the front office doesn't address the hole that they have right now, and are just relying on Segura and Harper, which are no guarantees for these guys to be 100% when they come back. I mean, you know what I mean? Guys get hurt all the time during rehab or whatever. I mean, you're talking about little bones in your hands that could be re-injured again, right? So they need to go get a good starting pitcher. Not even a good, I would even say a middle of the road starting pitcher. Get a nice three. I'd be happy with that. And just the fact that they've never had, ever since like Shane Victorino and then Jason, what's his
Worth?
Name? worth. I mean, the outfield has just been so mediocre. I mean, I know Schwarber's hitting 30 home runs, but it's like, you touch 205? I'm like, the outfield has just been, we just don't have a good outfield.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like historically with the Phillies, Glenn. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Good hearing from you. That's historically with the Phillies. Outfielders are just, they don't develop them.
No, never.
I mean, you think about it. Developed outfield, like where they drafted them and they came up through their farm system. Greg Luzinski and Pat Burrell. And Pat Burrell was drafted as an infielder.
They have spent, realistically, over $500 million on their three outfielders right now. And I know they don't all play outfield at the same time because they can't develop any outfield talent.
Yeah.
$500 million, $500 million because they can't do anything.
Meanwhile,
keep picking Adam Hazley's.
Meanwhile, the Atlanta Braves go, we have Ronald Acuna. We're going to completely swindle him by only paying him $100 million for the next 10 years. And I'm pretty sure he fired his agent like literally like a year later.
As he should have.
Something like that. And we have this kid named Michael Harris who hit home run yesterday against the Phillies. You know, a guy.
Just why not? Just another dude to throw in there.
A guy that can hit, play the outfield, has a lot of speed. All that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, like we have other guys that are going to continue to play in the outfield for us. We have Spencer Strider. We have Max Fried. They have Mike Soroka, who's still hurt.
Ian Anderson.
Who's
having a down year, but is a ton of talent.
They have these guys.
Also, real quick, what annoyed me yesterday, Gibson made one mistake yesterday. It was a two-run homer to Matt Olson. Are we really, and I believe he has the most homers against any team this season against the Phillies. Like him as an individual player, the most home runs he has against a certain team is the Phillies.
Yeah.
Are we really going to go from Philly killer on the Braves at first base, Freddie Freeman, automatically to Philly killer on the Braves playing first base to Matt Olson for another 5 years? Like that's just going to happen.
Yes, because
with no issues, no problems.
Because the Braves try.
There's not even going to be a season where like they have a first baseman who doesn't put up any, it's just going to go from Freddie Freeman, Philly killer to Matt Olson.
No, the Braves try, Tom.
Must be nice there, Andy.
The Braves won the World Series last year, and believe it or not, they're still trying this year. Let's see. Matt Olson has 20 home runs on the season. Let me go down against the opponent, and five of them of his 20 are against the Phillies. So fourth of his home runs are against the Phillies.
Awesome.
Also hitting .297 against the Phillies.
And he signed for what, 7 years?
Yeah.
That contract is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, look, I love the Fightins, but, you know.
Do they love you?
Sometimes. They send me a lot of emails. It's nice that they check in. I mean, they want me to buy tickets, but like.
That's cool. I prefer you just, you know, go out and get a good starter and a real center fielder.
It's nice to feel wanted.
And listen,
the Phillies want me to come to Citizens Bank Park.
Now, they did just go over the luxury tax for the first time in franchise history. I'm not trying to bash on them too much, but because you go over the luxury tax for the first time in franchise history, why wouldn't you want to just add on and keep going, make your team as good as they can be, rather than just say, all right, next year's the year we're really going to go all in. Like, I don't know, just sign a controllable guy, trade for a controllable guy.
Well, they did that with Kyle Gibson and Hans Gruber last year. Chris Kleppinger. This is why I was excited to do this topic. The times we complained way too much. And I get it. We never want to admit when we're wrong about things. You know, it's a walk of life. But Chris checks in. Spot on. And I was working here at the time. So trust me, I know it. He said, this is typical Philly. And in this case, typical sports talk fodder. But in 2017... when Fletcher Cox missed voluntary OTAs for family vacation, people lost their bleep. They won the Super Bowl that year.
They did.
And he was fantastic that year.
He was.
But yes, Fletcher Cox missing OTAs. We talked about it every day on the air. Every day. And he would tweet out like emojis and we'd be like, what is that?
What does that mean?
Does that mean he's coming back? Does that mean he got paid? But he's right. That's an absolute incredible answer. 610-632-0975 is the number to climb in. We got one segment left. A conversation on the crock pot is coming up next, Tom. I'm sure everybody's just excited for that one. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the
Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By The Fanatic.
1:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Final segment of the day. Devon Givens coming up next. Tyler Zuli producing the show. They'll be on, of course, from 2 until 6. You see on our YouTube the plaque behind me, the Cousin Chunas.
I do.
The big sign. I think I got the first glimpse of the best show ever.
Is that right?
I think I've seen it here first. It's right in front of me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know.
It's right in front of me. Well, they just brought it in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then they saw that we were coming back on the air, so they, you know, scurried out of here.
How's it look?
It's nice.
Yeah? Yeah. Excited to see it.
It's a nice sign. Come on in. Why don't you just leave the board? Just come on in. Like, I'm not going to do anything.
Can I?
No.
All right.
Because I'm probably going to talk to you in a couple of seconds.
I'm good. Thanks.
So two things, football related, before I get to our man Chuck in Las Vegas. So Kyler Murray made a surprise appearance with the media today.
That was a nice one.
He called it, quote, disrespectful and almost a joke that people could think he could have accomplished everything that he's accomplished without studying and preparing for games. He said, this game is too hard to do otherwise. To what Mike Florio responded with, and he's spot on. I don't like really Mike all that much. But they wanted a no baseball clause for a reason. They wanted a homework clause for a reason. Teams don't spin a wheel and randomly add rare or unprecedented terms to contracts. Any anger or frustration should be directed to the team. Or to yourself, dude, because clearly you have this kind of reputation where they added a four-hour study session into your contract.
Yes, correct.
Now let me ask you, if you're Kyler Murray, because at first I thought it was 4 hours a day. I'm a guy that I would bang out all four in the same day, so I'm good for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
If you had to pick, would you space it out? Or would you go all four one day and I got the rest of your week?
If I actually cared about my job,
yes,
I'd probably be doing, you know, 2 hours per day just to make sure I'm completely.
No, but Kyler Murray doesn't.
Exactly.
So,
that's the issue.
So if you're Kyler Murray, so think about like school, right? Like when you took courses in college, I was a load up Tuesday, Thursday, hate my life for 2 days a week, but then I'm off. The other five.
Right now in my life, I say I would probably do like 30 minutes a day. Back 22, 23 year old, I'm doing.
You're doing four hours in one day, and then you're going, oh, I'm good for
8 p.m. Yeah. Let's do it midnight. That's what I'm doing.
Then you're good for the rest of the week.
Yes.
Also, so there's a million of these. There's a website that covers sports and does gambling on the side. There's like a bajillion of those.
Yes.
More than the Mega Millions. This is the Game Day NFL. They put out their top wide receiver trios. Their top 10.
Okay, nice.
And I, you know, right away I see a flaw and I go, why would you follow this account? Number one on the list is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Like a flaw, like spelling flaw?
Oh, no.
Okay, gotcha.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, number one on their list.
Okay.
Number two, the Cincinnati Bengals. With Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd.
Okay.
Number three, the Saints, a healthy Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave.
Big question marks, but that seems a little high, but I get it.
Vikings, fourth, with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and K.J. Osborne. And ever since Justin Jefferson has gotten there, Adam Thielen has become underrated. So,
yes.
We're talking just trios, not the quarterback that throws to them, not the team, just the trios. The Dolphins, number five, Tyreek Hill now, alongside Jalen Waddle and Cedric Wilson.
Yep.
Okay. Number six, the Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, when he's not suspended, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, and Rondale Moore.
A little high, but okay.
The Broncos, number seven, with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick. They should be higher on the list, if I'm being honest with you. I think they're going to be very good. And now they have a legit quarterback throwing to them.
That's the issue. When I hear those names, I don't think a legit one. But we haven't seen any of those receivers with a legit quarterback.
I think with a legit quarterback, those this.
Like Judy, I think, has a ton of talent. Yeah. I wanted the Eagles to look at him during the draft.
Yes.
But, yeah, so right now it seems a little high, but I feel like 4 weeks in, 8 weeks into the season.
Like Broncos could be in the top five.
Correct.
Seahawks, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Marquise Goodwin. Pretty good. DK and Tyler Lockett, I think they should be higher too.
Marquise Goodwin, former Eagle? Marquise Goodwin? Not Marquise.
Oh, the one that, who never played.
Who was out because of COVID. Yeah, who I was excited about.
He opted out. I was excited too. Yeah, that Marquise Goodwin, who never played with the Eagles.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, he took the year off. San Francisco traded him here, and then he just never played. He opted out because of COVID, and that was it. He had as good as a career as Frank Gore did here in Philly.
And I don't think he played last year either.
He did. He played 14 games for the Bears.
Really?
40 targets, 20 catches, and just one touchdown.
That's too high then. Anyway.
The Eagles are number 9 on this list. I don't have a problem with the ranking. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Reagor is third receiver that they put on there. And that's when I go, I spotted a flaw right away.
I was not expecting that at all. I thought we were going, arguing if they should be hired.
No. Jalen Reagor is the third receiver that they put in the trio.
He is not the sixth receiver on the roster right now.
Yeah, he might not be. He stinks. He's so bad.
He's not good.
Jalen Reagor is an awful football player, and it's a shame.
Because it is.
He was drafted 21st overall, and that's not his fault.
No.
It's not his fault that they took him over Justin Jefferson. Not his fault at all, but he stinks. But yeah, they put Jalen Reagor as the trio.
That's terrible.
And then number 10, the Chargers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Josh Palmer.
That tells me they don't watch a lick of Eagles football.
Yeah.
And you're just going based off a depth chart probably from last season, added A.J. Brown in.
Yeah, that's
bad.
Yeah,
there's a reason that...
Should I just block their account?
Yes, I would. Do it right now.
Hold on, I got to get back to it.
How many followers do they have? Do you know?
25,000.
Yeah, that is 25,000 mistakes.
I might just block them when I find them. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chuck in Vegas. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Judas and Tom, great work.
Thanks, Chuck.
For Anthony.
Thank you. I can't wait for him to come back on the first. I've been having a lot of fun, but I can't wait for him to come back, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But just a great series win for the Phillies over Atlanta.
All right. Well, thank you for being excited. You're the first one all day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now's the time. We got to be aggressive at the deadline, you know, and. Look, I actually don't want Montas or Castillo. I don't trust either of them relative to what you're going to have to give up. I'd rather go a cheaper option. Maybe a Zach Greinke, a Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, I think Greinke's cooked, dude. I wanted him before. I think I wanted him before the season. I've talked about that over and over again. I think he's cooked, man. Let's see. He is. He's actually started to win a few games. He's 3-6 with a 4.35 ERA.
Yeah, I hear you there. You're probably right. Andrew, I just need someone who's going to eat some innings so we don't have to keep going through these bullpen games.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, I would love for a big time bat. I would have loved Benintendi. He goes to the Yankees. I don't know. The Angels are a team I'm looking at. Maybe you can get Taylor Ward, a player who can play third base. Mm-hmm. And outfield, you'd have to give up a heck of a lot to get him. But that's the caliber of player that I think we need.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of areas. Like I'm still very bothered by the Benintendi thing because the Yankees, it's not like they're desperate, right? They have the second best record in baseball. They're aggressive, and they go out and get Benintendi. And then, I don't know if you heard the Jason Stark cuts that we've been playing. He was on with Devon yesterday. He basically said that, here are some of the names. Chuck, did you hear Stark yesterday?
No, I did not.
All right, here are the names that he gave. Christian Pache, who's hitting below 200. Yeah. Jose Siri, who's hitting below 200. Michael A. Taylor, who's barely hitting over 200. Yeah. And there was one other that he gave. Victor Robles, who had a good year 4 years ago. Those are the names that he said the Phillies are going to be in on center field. All names that are not much better than what you already have, if better at all. And that's disappointing.
Yeah, no, I... Look,
I want another bat in here. Maybe Xander Bogaerts. Someone you can pair.
Yeah, I don't know how real that is. I keep seeing that popping up, Chuck. And I appreciate the call as always, man. I see more and more of these accounts that I don't trust that keep on putting.
You gotta watch out for those, man.
Those Bogaerts thing, and I'm just like, you know,
it just doesn't make sense. This team has too many other needs and no farm system.
Yeah, but I'm cool. Listen, I would welcome a Xander Bogaerts because he now plays shortstop. Right, he's now everyday shortstop. You know, Didi's done,
locked up for the long term too.
Yes, because he's got the player option, but you can probably work some things out. And then I don't know. Like, I get Bryson Stott's going to probably sit on the pine, but you know, Xander Bogaerts is better than him.
But then, and because I believe Segura's done after this year, so maybe you have Stott move to second base.
Right.
You know, so like this season,
like that.
It would hurt him.
And
I
it's Segura and Bogaerts up the middle for a playoff push. I like that.
Yeah.
And he's a guy with power.
And then Stott becomes your depth guy besides a Camargo. A guy like
right.
Camargo, you know.
Right, exactly.
He bops around short and second.
So,
and
I mean, if that's real, I'm for it. I just don't know how real that is. But maybe the Red Sox go in fire sale mode. Like, is Nathan Eovaldi available? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're falling apart right
Nick
now.
Nick Pivetta.
No. Ew.
It's had a good season.
I might vomit. Ew.
Sorry.
No. Don't ever say that name again in any sort of like positive way, okay? I hate that man. I think he's a terrible pitcher.
He's having a good season.
Yeah, the 4.35 ERA he's got.
Is that what he's up to now?
Yeah, dude, he stinks.
He was good earlier in the year.
Yeah, he had like three good starts.
No, he was good the first couple months.
He's got a 4.35 ERA.
That's my bad.
Let's look at the game logs for as Anthony calls him, Pavagita. let's see.
Well, it's funny because like the Phillies are being linked to like every former Red Sox. Like JD Martinez was linked to him. I was like, he fits nowhere on this lineup. It makes no sense.
Here you go. Here's Pivetta's month of July. So his last outing against the Guardians, 5 2/3, just one earned, not bad. 7 hits, 3 walks. So a lot of guys on base got out of it though. Here are the other ones. Against the Yankees, 4 1/3, 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks. So another 10 guys on base.
Not great.
He had back-to-back starts against the Yankees. The one before it, 3 1/3, 6 earned, 8 hits, 2 walks, another 10 guys on base.
Okay, it's good pace.
And then the start of the month was against the Rays, where he went 5 2/3, 7 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, another 10 guys on base.
I probably should drop him in fantasy.
Yeah, what, have you not been checking? Because he's killing you.
I have, but it's... Yeah,
he's killing you. He had a couple of good outings in June. He had Oakland. He went 8 strong against, but Oakland stinks. But yeah, dude, I can't.
He was good early in the season. It was more of a joke. I was just throwing that out there. But yes,
it's gross.
They should be calling teams that are willing to sell any type of players. They should be calling the Marlins, seeing what Pablo Lopez costs. If it's too much, at least you called. You know, like
yes.
You should be. Dave Dombrowski should be calling every team that is willing to sell at least a player.
Chuck mentioned Zach Greinke, who I did want before the season started. I'm actually looking. He actually hasn't had that terrible of a seat. Like, all right, so his ERA is 4.35. That doesn't sound good, right? The only problem is Chuck also said he wants an innings eater. He hasn't been that.
Nah, I mean,
the most innings he's pitched this year is 6 flat, and he's done it 3 times.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. Nah. So, like, here's his outings, right? 1 earned run, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 5, 2, 7, 5, 1, 1, 6, 0, 3, 0. So, for the most part, he's kept it below 2, 3 runs, but he's only going like 5 innings.
Yeah.
Because his arm's shot.
Chuck seemed more, he wants a bat in this lineup.
Yes, he does.
Then he wants a pitcher. And I just think when you look at the need of this team, where you have Christopher Sanchez and Bailey Falter starting every fifth day and you're trying to make the playoffs, like you need more of an upgrade than a Zach Greinke or even a Madison Bumgarner, who's having a nice season. But like you need someone with a higher upside than those guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those names are kind of, you know, they'll help you a little bit, but not all that much. All right, so the crock pot, Tom. I used it to make a chicken dish that I
discovered a few years ago, and it's delicious.
Nice.
Like, I just randomly found it on the internet. Where does the, are you a crock pot man?
Yes, big time. We don't use it a ton, but when we do.
Okay, thank you. So that's okay. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Everybody loves the crock pot, but doesn't use it much.
Yes.
So it's like, I think it's almost underrated because
sure.
You love it, but then you'll use it, what, like 5 times a year?
Yeah, sounds about right.
I only used it yesterday because I was with the baby all day, you know, taking care of him. It's not like I was going to have time to really cook. Chrissy was at work, right? So the reason why I used it, because it was nice to just throw some stuff in it and it's good for the rest of the day. The crock pot is an invention that is severely underrated, underappreciated. Let's use that, underappreciated. Are there any other household items? Doesn't have to be the kitchen, Tom, but other household items that come to your mind that are underappreciated? And I don't mean like air conditioning because like that's like everybody's first answer.
Yeah.
What's the greatest invention of all time? Oh, air conditioning is the number one answer of all time. Like with the underappreciated item, the crock pot's up there.
So this comes from someone who didn't have one for a certain amount of time. The microwave. The microwave, when it comes to reheating things, is the greatest invention ever. It takes a minute to reheat an entire meal. My mom, one year, just decided that we don't need the microwave anymore.
I was about to ask, like, what do you mean you didn't have one for a while?
Dude, it was when I was still living at home. This was probably 6 years ago at this point or something like that. She's like, yeah, we don't. Why would we use the microwave? We can just reheat stuff up on the stove. No, we can't. So we didn't have it for a year, and I missed it dearly, and I would not eat leftovers as a boycott to my mother. So... microwave.
So I'm guessing the microwave wasn't like a built-in one. It was just like you had a...
just like one that you plug in. Yeah,
yeah.
Can get work.
I had that for a long time. You know, now there's the people that have it like put in into the wall that kind of stuff. Fancy schmancy. So did she like throw it out?
She grew up without one. Like they didn't use them as a kid. So she was like, why do we need this? It looks ugly on the counter. Yada, yada, yada. I was like...
But did she throw it out or she keep it in like the garage?
I think it broke and we just didn't get a new one.
Ah, okay.
But we were all like, you know, kids under 20 years old reheating.
Yeah, and you're probably eating all kinds of stuff.
I want, you know, a Hot Pocket, but yes! I got to wait 30 minutes in the oven to have it, heat up and everything like that, preheat. It was horrible, man. So the microwave.
The reheating something in the oven sucks.
It does, dude. It takes forever.
It may taste better.
Sure.
It probably does. Like a slice of pizza, you put it in the oven, strong move.
Which is why the toaster oven.
It's a great item.
Very
good.
Now,
I've told this story probably 2 or 3 times in my time. Pat Egan will always have my respect because he did something so absurdly genius here at 97.5 The Fanatic 1 year. You were never here when we had a kitchen, right? Like, we used to have a kitchen back there.
No, we had the vending machine stuff over here when I first started.
Yeah, so we used to have a kitchen. They redid everything, and they put like eight office spaces that nobody uses instead of the kitchen, right? So we used to have that coffee pot that's right over there that's just sitting there.
Yes.
And has been for like a year. It's just a coffee pot, coffee maker that's just sitting there, plugged into nothing. It's just sitting there. Like, I could probably take it home, and you know what would happen? Hey, who took the coffee pot? It'd be one of those things, right? It's that thing that... somebody would only notice it if it's gone.
Correct.
But it's just sitting there. It's not even plugged in. There's no water hose connected to it or anything. Okay. Whatever. So Pat Egan, kid is a freaking genius, put a slice of pizza on a piece of tinfoil and then put it on the coffee burner and turn the coffee burner on.
Really?
Yes. And heated it up that way. Because it's not like there's an oven here and he didn't want to microwave his pizza. Which, look, I would rather not go through any of that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I'll just microwave it. But he did it during a commercial. He and I were doing a show before. This is before the Saturdays show. This is like a couple years ago. He and I were doing a Saturday or a Sunday morning together. And he reheated the piece of pizza on a piece of foil on top of the coffee burner.
That is impressive. And it got done in the time of a break, 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Genius move by Patty. He will always have my respect. Some other items that are totally... totally underrated or not appreciated enough. And it doesn't just have to be food related for all the great answers that I'm getting. But B-Ball Josh gives a great one. You always just use it, but you never say, I'm really glad I have this. The garbage disposal.
Yes, that's a good one.
If you don't have a garbage disposal, your sink backs up. And that's it. Now you're just digging your hand in there just to pull out some stuff. But a good garbage disposal... doesn't get enough love.
Very clutch.
Ever. Adam goes with the coffee grinder, which he's right. I don't have one. I just get the beans already, you know, ground, right, when I go to the store, right? But you want to make your own fresh beans. It's an item that you should have at the house. Brandon says the freezer. Yes, but like everybody uses the freezer. I'm not, you know. I'm saying like an item that we probably don't use enough. A couple people saying the cast iron skillet. Huge.
That is a good
huge
one.
Huge fan of the cast iron skillet.
The nonstick, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
or the OG one. Where like the flavor's still there from the previous meal. Could also just do that. It doesn't have to be nonstick. Toaster oven coming in, which is what you said as well. And then people talking about the dishwasher. Now, I went through a couple of places, no dishwasher.
I'm doing it right now.
You know,
it broke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
Sorry to hear that.
It sucks.
And you're going to get a new one, I would imagine.
In due time.
Because, like,
they're expensive.
You end up living without one for a while, and you end up getting used to it.
And that's where I am. I've gotten used to it at this point.
But then when you get it back, it's like, wow. Like, the place we're
at
now,
do this?
Place that we moved to, has like a legit dishwasher. The place I had in Manayunk, I could only fit in a certain amount of items.
Yeah.
And half the time there was still like grime on it. Before that, I hadn't had a dishwasher since I lived with my parents, right? So I got used to washing dishes by hand. But having like a go-to, like a good dishwasher like I have now, totally game-changing. And that's one of those things, like, I don't think I'll ever go back. Like, I now need it from here on out. Yeah. So that's how we're going to close out the show today, talking about appliances at the house, Tom. Also, I'll give you one because I still don't have it. The garage door opener in the car. I feel like nobody has that anymore.
I don't have one, no.
My garage door opens. I just don't have the remote. And I need it. Like, it's not like when it's raining or if it's wintertime and I want to park the car instead of having to get out, going into the house because the damn keypad don't work anymore. I got to get batteries for it or something maybe. I have to go into the house, open the garage door, get back in the car.
That's annoying.
I don't want to do that.
No, I don't blame you.
I don't want to do that. I'm not parking my car in the garage right now. It's fine outside, but like, you know, come wintertime, I want to park. But the garage door button in the car, I think people it's just there, so nobody appreciates it, but we should. That'll do it for today. So thank you, Tom. It was good to be back. I will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm on remote. So you're here at the studio by yourself. I will be on remote heading down to Blue Heron Pines. Johnny Gaudreau and his family are having a celebrity, you know, golf outing, a charity golf outing. And I'm hoping to speak to Johnny tomorrow, which would be fun and interesting because, you know, he should have been here. But, you know, we have an inept organization that runs the hockey team. But hey, you know, what do I know? So I'll be on the road tomorrow, but I'll be on. Tom will be back here at the studio. And then Anthony, of course, will be back on Monday. Coming up next is Devon Givens and Tyler Zuli. Their last 2 days before the best show ever begins. So everybody have a great rest of your day. Thank you everybody who watched on YouTube and commented on YouTube. And of course, Twitter is a lot of fun. And for everybody that called in, I really appreciate it. So we'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Everybody have a great, great rest of your day. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.